VIE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
A majority of Americans believe George W. Bush either lied or deliberately exaggerated evidence that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to justify war, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. The survey results, which show declining support for the war in Iraq and for Bush's leadership in general, indicate the public is increasingly questioning Bush's truthfulness, a concern for Bush's political advisors as his re-election bid gets underway. Barely half, 52%, now believe Bush is honest and trustworthy, down 7 percentage points since late October and his worst showing since the question was first asked in March of 1999. 54% thought Bush exaggerated or lied about pre-war intelligence. In a blow to the Bush administration, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday that it planned to investigate whether White House officials exaggerated the Iraq threat or pressured analysts to tailor their assessments of Baghdad's weapons programs to bolster the case for war. The move puts claims made by George W. Bush and other senior officials in his administration squarely in the sights of the committee's investigation and could add to the White House's political troubles as it tries to keep questions about the war from becoming a drag on Bush's re-election campaign. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said Thursday Congress should reinstate budget rules that would force lawmakers to cover the estimated $1 trillion that it will cost to make George W. Bush's tax cuts permanent. Greenspan said he favored reductions in government spending to pay for making the tax cuts permanent and suggested that one place to look should be in reducing the Social Security benefits paid to retirees. Appearing before the Senate Banking Committee, Greenspan said he has been urging since the fall of 2002 that budget rules known as PAYGO, which require any tax cuts or increases in government entitlement spending be paid for by either raising taxes in other areas or cutting government spending, be reinstated. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Relatives of a kidnapped victim in Taiwan struck a passing motorcyclist with more than $600,000 in cash when they tossed the ransom money to the kidnappers from a highway overpass. The $600,000 ransom, packed into two nylon bags, landed on 57-year-old Liu Fang Nan when he rode under the overpass just as a relative of the victim delivered the money, according to kidnappers' instructions. Liu, who later sought medical attention for swelling and bruising of his left leg, said he rode off not realizing he had been toppled off his motorcycle by a small fortune.
For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
My job is to secure the homeland, proclaimed George W. as he announced major budget increases for homeland surveillance, and that's exactly what we're going to do. To make all of us feel secure, he has hiked the FBI's budget above $5 billion a year, a 60% increase since Bush took office. Good. Now maybe the agency will have the resources to redouble its keen-eyed effort to protect us homelanders from the obvious danger posed by people who carry almanacs. The almanac threat first came to public notice last Christmas Eve when the FBI's intelligence bulletin went out to 18,000 police organizations urging America's vast law enforcement network to be on alert during traffic stops and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs. Yes, like the World Almanac or the Always Suspicious Old Farmer's Almanac. The agency bulletin noted that these deviously deceptive documents are replete with such details as weather trends, profiles of cities, and lists of tall buildings. The FBI's language was blunt, if not exactly sparkling. The practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. Good grief. As a World Almanac editor pointed out about the September 11th terrorists, they certainly didn't need the almanac to locate the Twin Towers. With Bush's budget hike, maybe the agency can focus attention on people who use phone books and dictionaries, too. Who knows what kind of subversive stuff such people might be looking up? One can only imagine what the FBI would have done to Benjamin Franklin, the publisher of Poor Richard's, America's first almanac. But then, he was a subversive. This is Jim Hightower saying, "Hey, George, your job is not just to secure the homeland, but to secure our Bill of Rights as well, and to stop agencies from so grossly wasting our tax dollars."
You hear that? Doug made his confession that he used hair color.
Yeah, yes, I was expecting to make it the treatise of the last month. Aren't you guys sweet?
I would recommend sticking with one color, however. Each month you'd have
I
want to
see you try the Afro stuff.
Yeah, right. I'm going to do that.
I decided that it is not the color of the hair, but the head that it stuck to that's important.
Doug Stephens, good day.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
Calling for a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, here's Tom Hartman.
And greetings, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way from coast to coast. This is Tom Hartman, broadcasting live on the IE America Radio Network, streaming down from outer space on stream 143 of the Sirius satellite system, and beaming around the planet from radiopower.org. George W. Bush said, and I quote, "There are people looking for work because jobs have gone overseas." Apparently, he's just noticed this. "And we need," he said, "to act in this country. We need to act to make sure there are more jobs at home and people are more likely to retain a job." Nice words, George. But what's he actually doing? He says we need to act. In a new report this week, President Bush, quote, said the movement of U.S. factory jobs and white-collar work to other countries is part of a positive transformation that will enrich the U.S. economy, end of quote. This was 3 days ago. The L.A. Times notes that Bush, who personally signed the report before it was released, quote, supports the shift of jobs overseas, end quote, despite 8 million Americans being out of work and analysts predicting, quote, as many as 2 million U.S. white-collar jobs could be lost from more outsourcing, end quote. Well, he's got, you know, the guy who put this report together, Greg Mankiw, is chief economic advisor. An old college professor from Harvard University, not exactly the most politically savvy guy on the earth, but he knows what he believes, and he believes the conservative mantra that who cares what happens to the people if it's good for the corporation, the largest of the corporation. Forget small business. They're like part of the people, even though small businesses in America create most of our jobs. Forget medium-sized, community-based businesses. We'll let them get wiped out by Walmart. It's the huge multinationals that contribute piles of money to the Republican and Democratic national parties. And the Republicans in particular, but the Democrats, I mean, you know, keep in mind, it was Bill Clinton who signed NAFTA and GATT and the Telecommunications Act and all this. They are not without culpability. But anyhow, here we have Gregory Mankiw, the president's chief economic advisor, saying in this report, which came out on the 10th, just a couple days ago, quote, "When a good or service is produced more cheaply abroad, it makes more sense to import it than to provide it domestically." And further, on in a briefing on Monday, he said, "Outsourcing is just a new way of doing international trade. More things are tradable than were tradable in the past, and that's a good thing." Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan later defended these positions. Now, I remember back in the good old days, back in 1996, as I recall it was, 1997 maybe, I ran an ad agency in Atlanta. It's still there. We sold it and moved up here to Vermont, but I ran a business and we had to hire what would today be the equivalent of offshore labor. We had a client who we were producing a publication for, a monthly newsletter for, and they wanted it in Japanese, Spanish, and English. And I had to find somebody, or four or five people, but the ideal thing was to find one person who, number one, was a good graphic designer, and number two, knew how to write and speak Spanish, Japanese, and English. Now, that's not a particularly easy thing to do, but oddly, we found such a person. His name was Shinji. I'll leave his last name, you know, to protect his privacy. Shinji, very nice guy. His parents were Japanese. He was born in Peru. He grew up speaking Spanish and Japanese at home. He moved to the United States when he was 14 and started studying graphic arts. And just, you know, by some strange coincidence, he had actually applied to our ad agency for a job a year earlier. I had his resume. Here's this guy. He speaks Japanese, Spanish, and English, and he's a graphic designer. So I wanted to hire him and dedicate his work to this one particular thing. I had to contact the Immigration and Naturalization Service. I had to write letters. See, he had to get I think it's called an H-1 visa. He had to get a particular type of visa. I had to run ads in the Atlanta Constitution Journal saying, you know, wanted, graphic designer, fluent in Japanese, Spanish, and English. I had to run ads. I had to run a certain number of ads. I had to spend a certain amount of money. I had to prove that I couldn't find an American citizen who could do that job. And then the INS gave me permission to hire this guy. And every year I had to, well, he worked for us a year and a half or so, and that's when I sold the business. I don't believe that Shin's still there. I think he's gone on to bigger and better things. But in any case, every year they would have been reviewed. The bottom line was, we said, hey, American jobs are for Americans. And it's not protectionism. I mean, you know, technically I suppose it is, but it's not some form of bizarre form of ethnocentrism or xenophobia or something like that. No, really what it is that the purpose of an economy in a nation is to... The founders of the United States had it figured out. The purpose of an economy in a nation is to provide for the common good. Get this. This is the preamble to the United States Constitution. It lays it right out. We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution. The purpose of an economy is not so that the five relatives of Sam or the four relatives of Sam Walton in Bentonville can become multibillionaires, or so that Bill Gates can become multibillionaires, or so that Phil Knight at Nike can make $6 billion. I mean, that may happen. And you could even argue that it's a fine thing that people make a pile of money. I'm certainly not opposed to it. But the purpose of an economy is not to serve a few wealthy folks. Although David Stockman will, you know, in his memoirs talked about how the trickle-down theory, you know, what George H.W. Bush called voodoo economics, what his son is now pursuing, Reaganomics, they actually believed that that was the purpose of an economy. See, this is classic conservative economics. Make a small number of people incredibly wealthy, and then the crumbs that fall off their table will take care of things. This is how you want to know how this has worked in. I mean, this is nothing new. You want to know how this has worked in history? Read Charles Dickens. Read pretty much anything Dickens wrote. Because he was simply documenting what life was like in Victorian England when conservative economics ruled. You know, Darwinian evolution, there's a few problems with Darwinian evolution. And the biggest one is that basically he was defining evolution in the context of economics, of the way that economics were working. And of course, his cousin Francis Galton was defining economics in the context of evolution, survival of the fittest. Big fish eat little fish. The problem is, if you have a situation, a closed economy, where the big fish continuously eat the little fish, and there isn't some sort of regulating mechanism in there, you end up with nothing but big fish. And eventually the big fish die off and fall over. And that's not a normal, healthy system. That's called a crash. That's what happened in 1929 in the United States. That's what's fixing to happen right now. Some would say we're already into it. It's what happened in the Great Panic of 1854. It's what happened in the Great Recession of 1769 and 1770 that in some ways led to the American Revolution. It is irrational economics. The purpose of an economy is to provide for the quality of life of the citizens in the nation. That's why we collectively pay our taxes, so that our government will provide and guarantee a stable currency, so that those of us who are entrepreneurs and small business people can make a living and you know, have currency that's not, you know, not like in Germany in the 20s, where, you know, you have to have a wheelbarrow full of cash to buy a loaf of bread, to provide a stable currency. We pay for that with our taxes. And who are the primary beneficiaries of this? Corporations. But corporations are down to paying only 13% of the tax. They're paying less than a third. Corporations are paying less than a third of the tax percentage of the United States tax bill that they were in the 1950s under Eisenhower. What's wrong with this picture? We've decided that we want to have a legal system. This show is Movie Networks at the end of this month. And I just signed a contract that here, Friday the 13th, great day to sign a contract, right? I think, frankly, it's a lucky day for me. I'm getting on an airplane this afternoon. Happy Friday the 13th to those of you. And knowing that there is a law that says, and by the way, what that all means is that you'll be able to continue hearing this program. It's going to be available on the stations that are carrying it. So don't worry, everything's fine. But to have a contract system, to have laws that say, yes, contracts are enforceable. We have courts that are paid for again with our tax dollars. So we have the commons, and the commons is something that, you know, works for all of us. And part of the purpose of an economy, ideally, the ideal purpose of an economy is to provide for a stable middle class, because a stable middle class makes democracy possible. The founders knew this. We've had a few aberrations from it, you know. During the McKinley administration, we went off track from this in the late 1800s, and in response to that, you had the progressive and populist movement and Teddy Roosevelt trying to bring America back. And then we went off track again in the 19-teens, when the Supreme Court ruled that minimum wage laws were unconstitutional. In the 1920s. When Herbert Hoover had six huge tax cuts for the rich in a row, and what did it bring us? The Great Depression. And here we are standing at the edge of it. Automakers and trade. This from the Detroit Free Press. During the next few years, auto imports from China for parts like radio, CDs, players, and DVDs are expected to explode. So too is the number of workers employed in China by Detroit's automakers and suppliers. The biggest push appears to be from General Motors Corporation, which plans to increase 20-fold its purchases from China. In 2003, they bought 200 million in Chinese auto parts, and by 2009, it's going to be 4 billion. It's time for us to get control of our economy. And George Bush saying outsourcing of jobs is a good thing is not the way to do it. I'm sorry, folks. It is just not the way to do it. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
Oh, hon, this cold.
Here, take NyQuil. Oh. You'll sleep like a...
Okay, up there.
You'll sleep like
need
a...
Need more tissues?
Sleep like a...
Cover your mouth.
Like you did before your mother moved in.
Oh, so you'll wear that red 90?
I heard that.
Give me that.
NyQuil, the nighttime sniffling, sneezing, coughing, aching, stuffy head, fever, best sleep you ever got with a cold medicine. Use as directed. Now try new and improved liquid caps.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and four pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped five sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now 1-800-865-8449.
Did you know that grapes are one of the most heavily sprayed of all agricultural products? Most people don't. But that is why it's so very important to drink wines that are made with certified organic grapes. And that is exactly what we are inviting you to do today. Taste our wines. We select them personally. They come from small properties in the south of France. They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. And they are earth-friendly. My name is Véronique. I founded the Organic Wine Company in 1980 for people just like you. People who love wine and want to do well by our earth. Call us at 1-888-ECO-WINE. We'll answer all your questions. I look forward to talking with you. Call 1-888-ECO-WINE, and that is ECOWINE.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Animal Talk, not your father's radio show about animals.
Welcome to the lifestyles of the wet and stinky. We're looking at fishy fat cats and wealthy crustaceans. This is Bloodsucking Leech here, sending you algae-covered wishes and caviar-laying dreams.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
All right, boys, come on.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Everybody's grinning in my face, telling me I gotta make a change. All I ever hear day and night is, you better hurry up and get a life. I need some direction. Guess the clock is ticking away.
Welcome back. It's Tom Hartman, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. The solution is very straightforward. First of all, we have to recognize that the NAFTA and GATT trade, that crazy old coot, Ross Perot, was right, and that the NAFTA and GATT trade agreements are simply of, by, and for multinational corporations, and they don't benefit nations, and they don't benefit workers. And one of the wonderful things that George Bush taught us with the many treaties that he simply decided to walk away from, even ones that were already signed, is that we don't need those stinking treaties. Right? We can walk away from NAFTA and GATT tomorrow morning, and I think that we should. Secondly, we need to say, if you want to hire foreign labor to do jobs in the United States, somebody answering the phone, somebody doing backroom work in a, you know, the bookkeeping, whatever, you want to hire somebody in India to do it, cool. All you have to do is get a visa. That's one way to handle it. You go back to just like when I hired Shinji. A third way to do it is to go back to the kind of tariffs that we had in the United States from 1784, when Tench Cox got the first one passed, even before the Constitution. We were still operating under the Articles of Confederation. From 1784 up through the Reagan administration, Reagan started dismantling these things when he declared war on labor and basically started turning the keys to the nation over to the largest corporate donors and the largest corporate bidders. And you know, Bill Clinton sped it up, and George Bush has just been running a full tilt boogie. And that is to say, hey, if you got to go back to my shoe example, those of you who've heard it before, I apologize. But if you want to make a pair of shoes, for example, and it costs a dollar's worth of labor to make those shoes in the United States, but it costs 10 cents worth of labor to make them in Malaysia, no problem. You can hire people in Malaysia to make them for 10 cents an hour. But when you import them into the United States, you pay 90 cents per shoe, per pair of shoes, duty, so that the cost of labor is equalized. All these guys who are running around saying we need to have the labor protections in the treaties. You're gonna take Malaysian laborers from 50 cents an hour up to a dollar an hour, because that's a reasonable minimum wage in Malaysia. You think that's going to solve the problem? It's not. I'm sorry, but we have had this problem solved in the United States for over 200 years, and these right wing extremists. These, quote, free market, and trust me, there is no such thing as the free market. The market exists on the basis of the rules of the game. It's just like saying free hockey. You can't have a free hockey game. Everybody just gets whack whoever they want. You got rules for the game. And the rules for the game are determined by government. It's one of the functions of government, to define the rules of the game of business. In the United States, for almost 200 years, one of the rules of the game was that if a corporation gets so large that it makes the marketplace anti-competitive, it's called the Sherman Antitrust Act. Remember, before that, there were other laws similar to it. That was
James Boyce, co-editor of Natural Assets. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Your father's radio program, take 48.
Tune in to Animal Talk this Sunday for Animal Celebrity Boxing.
Boxing kicks butt.
Lightweight bout featuring fearless Felix the Cat.
Yeah, what a cat.
And that dog on ice, Tanya Harding.
Yeah, that dog will fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk Sunday nights on IE America Radio Network.
Sunday.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
These are the days of an empty hand.
And welcome back. Defending America from the conservative weapons of mass deception. This is Tom Hartman. This news flash just in. Bush thought gaps in, explains gaps in military record, says he thought mission was accomplished. President blames faulty intel. Here's the story. President Bush came out swinging against his critics today, explaining that he briefly left the National Guard in 1972 because, in his words, quote, I thought the mission was accomplished, end quote. Charles Whiffy Whiffington, a frat brother of Mr. Bush's at the Delta Kappa Epsilon fraternity at Yale, confirms Mr. Bush's version of events. He says, George was definitely under the impression that major combat operations in Vietnam were over. Mr. Whiffington, an avid golfer and former Halliburton executive, told reporters, I remember him showing up at the DKE frat house in his flight suit saying, mission accomplished. None of us had any idea what the devil he was talking about. About 2 days after 2 days of what Mr. Whiffington described as a truly bodacious kegger, Mr. Bush happened to turn on the television and saw a news report indicating that the Vietnam War was still very much underway. Yikes, Mr. Whiffington recalls the president saying, I better get out of here. The president, then, who quickly returned to the National Guard, today blamed his decision to leave on faulty intelligence. I was watching Monday Night Football in a bar, he said, and someone told me that the Vietnam War was over. As it turned out, I guess he was pulling my leg. Hoping to put a punctuation mark on the controversy, Mr. Bush said the important thing is the Iraqi people are free of the tyranny of Saddam Hussein. This from the Borowitz Report, from Andy Borowitz, BorowitzReport.com. On a little more serious note, oh, and just as a heads up, I believe in top of our next hour, we're going to have Bernie Sanders on our Brunch with Bernie segment, it being Friday, Friday the 13th here. Assuming that Bernie's available, most likely he is, our only independent congressman in the United States House of Representatives. The Center for American Progress just put together this really extraordinary. This is mind-boggling. You talk about the politics of personal destruction. I was going to continue to rant about the economy here for a few more minutes, but this Louise just put this in front of me, and this is just incredible. Is George Bush going to tolerate this, or for that matter, is this something that's being orchestrated by Rove and Bush? And I mean, keep in mind, this is the most poll-driven administration in the history of the United States. Every word carefully parsed. Absolute control of the media. You don't do what they want. You don't even get to sit in the front row, as Helen Thomas discovered, of the Associated Press, in the press room there. Here's the story. Facing more questions about the president's National Guard duty, conservative allies of the White House did the only thing they could do. Disparage triple amputee Vietnam War hero Max Cleland, a man who only a year and a half ago the White House and its allies likened to Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein in television ads. Remember that? Max Cleland was the senator from Georgia. And in the only state with voting machines that produced absolutely no paper trail, Saxby Chambliss, in all the polls, was running 6-8 points behind Max Cleland, and somehow, the day before, 2 days before the election, somehow he beat Max Cleland by 6 or 8 points. It's as if the vote just got, like, reversed. The exact same thing happened in the governor's race. The popular incumbent Democrat, who was ahead in the polls, was beat by the Republican. And the exit polling, that's a whole other topic, which we have ranted about at other times, and which Rush Holt is seeking to do something about with his bill before the United States House of Representatives to make sure that voting machines print a paper ballot. But anyhow, in a column posted on the Conservative Heritage Foundation's website, Fox News contributor and White House ally Ann Coulter, famous anorexic, unleashed an attack on Cleland's service to his country, claiming that the triple amputee decorated war hero displayed, quote, no bravery in Vietnam, end quote. Sorry, that was a cheap shot at Ann Coulter. I apologize. I take that back. We don't do cheap shots here. The politically motivated assault came after Cleland appeared at events critical of the administration, once again showing the conservatives' pattern of impugning the patriotism of those who question their policy. It comes just after President Bush himself nominated Cleland to the Export-Import Bank, and after Bush called Cleland a good Democratic senator out of Georgia. The attack highlights a new pattern of behavior from the White House and fellow conservatives. They wrap themselves in the flag while slashing funding for veterans' health care, military families, and soldier pay, all the while disparaging the honored service of those who defended America. Now, just consider this. Let me just lay out the facts here for you. This is going to blow your mind. This is absolutely outrageous. Ann Coulter wrote, and this is on the Heritage Foundation website, quote, Cleland didn't give his limbs for his country or leave them on the battlefield, because she says he lost his limbs in a, quote, routine non-combat mission where he was about to drink beer with his friends, end quote, in Vietnam, of course. But as the 8199 Esquire magazine notes, Cleland lost two legs and an arm in Vietnam when a grenade accidentally detonated after he and another soldier jumped off a helicopter into a combat zone. I mean, not only are they saying, oh, he's no war hero, he lost two legs and an arm because he jumped on a grenade, what, in a bar? I mean, it doesn't even make sense, but that's what they're saying. But then it turns out that reality isn't even consistent with that. Coulter went on to say people, quote, should stop allowing Cleland to be portrayed as a war hero, end quote. You get this? Despite the fact that in a separate incident 4 days before he lost three limbs, Cleland won a single star, a silver star, one of the highest honors for combat courage the U.S. military gives out. The congressional citation, which came with the medal, specifically said that, quote, during a heavy enemy rocket and mortar attack, Captain Cleland, disregarding his own safety, exposed himself to the rocket barrage as he left his covered position to administer first aid to his wounded comrades. He then assisted in moving the injured personnel to covered positions, end quote. The citation concluded, quote, Cleland's gallant action is in keeping with the highest traditions of the military service and reflects great credit upon himself, his unit, and the United States Army, end quote. But Ann Coulter says, we should stop allowing him to be portrayed as a war hero. She goes on to say that he was lucky to have his limbs blown off. See, this is how we're talking the politics of personal assassination. You know, it turns out George Bush was using personal privilege to get into and out of the National Guard, just like he has pretty much everything else in his life. You know, born on third base, thinking he hit a triple. Born, you know, the old silver spoon in the mouth thing here. The family of a dynastic family. Ann Coulter said, quote, luckily for Cleland, he happened to lose his limbs while in Vietnam, end quote. Yeah, luckily for him. And said that had he been injured at, quote, Fort Dix rather than in Vietnam, he never would have been a U.S. senator, end quote. What? Of course, Cleland probably would not have then been dealing with live grenades and enemy fire at Fort Dix. But then many top conservatives might not know this because they don't have firsthand knowledge of a combat zone. President Bush didn't go to Vietnam. Vice President Dick Cheney didn't serve in the military, saying when somebody asked him why he didn't join the military, he said, quote, I had other priorities in the 60s than military service, end quote. According to the Houston Press in 1999, House Majority Leader Tom DeLay, Republican of Texas, quote, tried to blame minorities for his lack of military experience, saying, and I quote, this is a quote from the pesticide applicator Tom DeLay. I think the guy smelled too much of his own bug killer. He said, quote, so many minority youths had volunteered for the well-paying military positions to escape poverty in the ghetto that there was literally no room for patriotic folks like me, end quote. And that's why he didn't end up in the military during Vietnam. Rush Limbaugh avoided service by apparently claiming his, quote, anal cysts, end quote, prevented him from defending the nation. And on it goes. On and on it goes. Just a year and a half ago, President Bush and his allies aired a television ad equating Cleland to Osama bin Laden and Saddam Hussein. The ad was originally sponsored by Representative Saxby Chambliss, now the Republican senator from Georgia, a man who told Georgia Public Television on 8/16/02 that he was kept out of Vietnam because of a bum knee and a handful of student deferments, yet by some incredible miracle, still found a way to play baseball in college, and even plays in the congressional baseball games today. Newspapers and veterans groups were outraged over the ad, but instead of repudiating it, President Bush actually embraced Chambliss and the ads, repeatedly visiting Georgia to support him, saying, right on. Call that war hero Max Cleland, who lost three limbs in Vietnam, who won the Silver Star saving men who under fire. Call that man a friend of Osama's. While draft Dodger Saxby Chambliss. That's incredible. The New York Times reports that Cleland is responding to attacks from conservatives in kind. He says, this is part of an overall slime and defend strategy. They don't want to talk about Vietnam. They don't want to talk, and they don't want their candidates to talk about veterans issues because it hurts the president. This is what Cleland said. One Republican running for statewide office in Nevada said he attended a meeting where officials from the Bush reelection campaign urged Republican candidates not to talk about Vietnam. Basically, Ed Goebel, this is a candidate, a Republican candidate in Nevada, said basically they're saying don't bring up veterans issues and don't bring up Vietnam. Our surrogates will take care of it. Our surrogates like Ann Coulter, who said that we've got to, quote, stop allowing Max Cleland to be portrayed as a war hero, end quote. This is over the top, my friends. I mean, this is, forget, was George Bush a good guy? You know, was he AWOL? I don't frankly care. I mean, I to some extent I do. I think it reflects what it tells us. And one of the two op-eds in the New York Times today was absolutely brilliant on this. I don't remember if it was Bob Herbert or Christoph, or Maureen Dowd. But it tells us something about his character. But those who say, hey, that was 30 years ago. I did things 30 years ago. I'm not proud of today too. But the point is that it's a pattern, a lifetime pattern on George Bush. I mean, two oil companies that never found any oil, never made any money, got bailed out by wealthy friends of the family and the Bin Laden family, by the way. But really what we need to be doing, and when I say we, I don't consider myself a Democrat. I'm an independent and always have been. As you know, those of you who've listened to the program in the last election, I voted for a Green, a Republican, and a Democrat. I mean, figure that one out. Jim Jeffords got my vote. I thought he was a good guy. He was a Republican. He's not anymore. And I voted for Ralph Nader. Yes, I did. And I voted for Pat Leahy, our Democratic senator. I vote for the person that I think will do the best job. But what we have to do, those of us who love democracy, Republicans, Democrats, independents, is we have to look at the issues. We can talk all day long about, John Kerry and Vietnam and George Bush and Vietnam and all this stuff. And, of course, the Republicans are going to try and do this through their surrogates like Coulter. The slime and destroy technique. But what we need to be doing is looking at the issues. You've got a president who has, the first time since Herbert Hoover, has lost jobs while in office. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Armin in Florida is on the line. Hey, Armin, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program. Happy Friday the 13th.
Yeah, thank you very much. You too. I hear these polls, they're trying to say sometimes that, people don't really care about this National Guard thing, and I say, that's the biggest lie they're trying to perpetrate, besides the fact that this guy's an absolute fraud and a coward. I'd like to ask these people that take these polls, supposedly that don't care, that are probably 99% Republican districts, I'd like to ask these people, is that really true? If you were really convinced that this guy cowardly, through daddy's connections, avoided Vietnam service with privilege, cowardly, would you really believe in part that this guy is, deserves to be the commander-in-chief of this country.
You know, Armin, I've got to say, and I hate being in the position of defending George Bush, but I don't think it was cowardly. I think it was just taking the easy way out.
And
a lot of my friends did the same thing. A lot of and they were not cowards. They just didn't, you know, they thought, hey, you know, if I have an opportunity to get out, if I can get a student deferment, if I can get a 4F, I mean, I knew people who stayed up for 3 days, drank coffee, you know, whatever, trying to get their blood pressure up so they could get 4Fs. I mean, it wasn't that they were cowards. It was that they just didn't think, you know, that the war was the right thing, or that it, or they had, you know, Dick Cheney said he had other priorities.
Well,
you know, I'm not sure that just throwing, you know, slinging, you know, calling people names is the most effective.
Let me tell you why I think that.
Okay.
On one instance, like you're saying, on situations where some people philosophically didn't believe in it, I didn't believe in it either. You know, but I went and got my number, and I was ready to go in, and my number come up high.
But he was supporting. I understand your point. But Bush was saying that it was a good thing, and all that. And he was working for a Republican candidate down in Alabama. So hypocrisy. I'll agree with you. Hypocrisy. I'm not, you know, I don't know him well enough to call him a coward, but I'd say he was definitely a hypocrite. Harmon, thanks for the call. This is Tom Harmon. 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be back.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Wakefield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
Do the Republicans or the Democrats have a clear vision for America that actually includes democracy, fairness, and justice? Do the Greens or the Progressives? How can we create a shared vision of the kind of future we want for our children? This is Tom Hartman, and I'll be exploring these and many other issues with guests from a wide variety of viewpoints, as well as taking your calls.
The Tom Hartman Show, 12 p.m. till 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
You've got your green alligators and long-necked geese, humpty-back camels and some chimpanzees, some cats and rats and elephants, but sure as you're born, don't you forget that unicorn.
Sunday nights, please, please listen to our show, because if you don't, Mark will not stop singing. Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
Show. An email here from Jamie. Jamie has a great idea. He was listening to the program and heard the Brett Bercy segment. Our friend down in South Carolina, who was arrested outside a Bush campaign speech. Jamie says, I have an idea for getting close to Bush with protest signs. Make a sign that says, impeach Bush, or something of that nature, one word above the other. And then have a strip of paper that is the same color as the sign's background. On this strip of paper, you print something like re-elect. Lightly stick re-elect over impeach. Carry this sign to the Bush event, and after you are safely surrounded by pro-Bush hordes, remove the re-elect portion of the sign and hold it up.
We love Bush. We love Bush. We love Bush.
Impeach Bush.
Huh? You didn't know I'm going to say that, did you?
The Tom Hartman Show, Monday through Friday, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Listen up real close to me and nothing else. War ain't no way, just misery and death. Dead ain't buried. Fathers kill mothers. Sisters kill brothers. You can't know what it is to see your friends die. When war goes bad, you gotta stand and fight. Spend a soul for warrior.
Welcome back. Helping you win the water cooler wars with uncommon sense from the radical middle. This is Tom Hartman. You know, one of the folks in our chat room, I believe it was Jay Kevin in there. By the way, if you want to get to our chat room, just go to tomhartman.com. And I recommend that those of you who are listening to the web stream find it off tomhartman.com, because on March 1st it's probably going to change. Thanks, Char. If you want to get into the chat room, just go to tomhartman.com. Kevin made the comment. He agreed with Armin that George Bush was a coward. My point is, I think it's actually more damning, frankly, to say that somebody is getting by on the cheap, on the easy, taking advantage of family connections, because everybody can understand that and everybody can identify with that. And the record is quite clear that that's the case with this guy. Whereas when you call somebody a coward, you know, you're going to get the people, you know, it's like baseball. You know, you're going to get the people on our team who go, oh, yeah, yeah, sure, yeah, yeah, yeah. But the people on the other team get turned off. And I think it's important that we just, you know, be a little straighter with this. Roberta in Santa Fe is on the line. Hey, Roberta, we got about a minute left here. What's up?
I just want to thank you, Tom, for the opportunity to wish my heroes, the Sons of Liberty and Justice, in what was once the land of the home and the brave. I hope that it will be again, thanks to you and Rama. And I want to include Doug Steffen and Mike Malloy.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are my heroes.
Well, thank you.
And I really want to wish you a lot of peace and love on this weekend.
Thank you.
And keep on right on, Cachetón.
Okay.
Keep it up. And if you ever come to a world-class mineral springs in northern New Mexico, I'd like to buy you all a carrot juice.
There you go. That would be great, Robert. I love New Mexico. The last time I was there was just last year. And we've been talking with the folks at KTRC about doing a remote from out there sometime perhaps this summer. So I hope to make it out. Roberta, thank you for the call. Very kind words. And there's some great talent here at IE America Radio, and I agree with you. This is Tom Hartman, Truth and Common Sense in Broadcasting.
It's coming through a hole in the air from those nads in Tiananmen Square. It's coming from the feel that this ain't exactly real, or it's real, but it ain't exactly there. Disorder from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Animals Program, take 47.
Tune into Animal Talk this Sunday.
Yeah!
Animal Celebrity Boxing.
We're going to kick some butt!
Lightweight bout featuring Fearless Felix the Cat.
What a cat!
And that dog on ice, Tonya Harding.
Tonya Harding, she'll fight anyone for a buck.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
Boys, come on.
Mike Malloy is rational and, you know, I mean, whatever.
You want me fired, too?
I mean, I hate the guy. And
you hate me? You hate me?
Why don't I put something on that says he's a great goof liberal?
Goof?
You know, I just can't believe it.
The Mike Malloy Show, weekdays from 9 p.m. till midnight, Eastern Time, on IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A majority of Americans believe George W. Bush either lied or deliberately exaggerated evidence that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to justify war, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. The survey results, which show declining support for the war in Iraq and for Bush's leadership in general, indicate the public is increasingly questioning Bush's truthfulness, a concern for Bush's political advisors as his re-election bid gets underway. Barely half, 52%, now believe Bush is honest and trustworthy, down 7 percentage points since late October and his worst showing since the question was first asked in March of 1999. In a blow to the Bush administration, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday that it planned to investigate whether White House officials exaggerated the Iraq threat or pressured analysts to tailor their assessments of Baghdad's weapons programs to bolster the case for war. The move puts claims made by George W. Bush and other senior officials in his administration squarely in the sights of the committee's investigation and could add to the White House's political troubles as it tries to keep questions about the war from becoming a drag on Bush's re-election campaign. The White House and Republican leaders in Congress had sought for months to confine the inquiry to the performance of the CIA and other intelligence agencies and to insulate the administration. The Senate panel voted unanimously Thursday to expand the probe after some GOP members appeared ready to break from the Republican position. A relative of the late Winton Red Blount recalled George W. Bush in Alabama 32 years ago as a heavy drinker who was more interested in talking about his alcohol consumption than discussing his service with a guard or even running Blount's Senate campaign. C. Murphy Archibald, Blount's nephew and an attorney in Charlotte, North Carolina, who served as an Army lieutenant in Vietnam, tried to talk with Bush about the military when he learned he was in the Air National Guard, but Bush didn't seem interested, he said. Recalling the 1972 campaign, he said Bush seemed to enjoy talking about the amount of beer he had drunk the night before. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal, some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
An angry husband who came across the video of his wife having sex with her lover on the internet called the police, who arrested a man suspected of filming a string of people without their consent, police said Thursday. The 25-year-old cheating wife had been secretly filmed, and the video was posted on the net when the man stumbled across it. The husband saw his wife and immediately called a prosecutor to get his wife's clip off the net, a police source said. The suspect filmmaker was charged with violating a Sensitive Personal Information Act. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Hey, what is it?
I realize I love you. But as long as you're with Jessica, there can never be anything between us.
Cass, there's no need to cry. Besides, I've got really great news.
You're leaving Jessica?
No. I just saved a load of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico. I saved. I thought that meant something to you.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
My job is to secure the homeland, proclaimed George W. as he announced major budget increases for homeland surveillance, and that's exactly what we're going to do. To make all of us feel secure, he has hiked the FBI's budget above $5 billion a year, a 60% increase since Bush took office. Good. Now maybe the agency will have the resources to redouble its keen-eyed effort to protect us homelanders from the obvious danger posed by people who carry almanacs. The almanac threat first came to public notice last Christmas Eve when the FBI's intelligence bulletin went out to 18,000 police organizations urging America's vast law enforcement network to be on alert during traffic stops and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs. Yes, like the World Almanac or the always suspicious Old Farmer's Almanac. The agency bulletin noted that these deviously deceptive documents are replete with such details as weather trends, profiles of cities, and lists of tall buildings. The FBI's language was blunt, if not exactly sparkling. The practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. Good grief. As a World Almanac editor pointed out about the September 11th terrorists, they certainly didn't need the almanac to locate the Twin Towers. With Bush's budget hike, maybe the agency can focus attention on people who use phone books and dictionaries, too. Who knows what kind of subversive stuff such people might be looking up? One can only imagine what the FBI would have done to Benjamin Franklin, the publisher of Poor Richard's, America's first almanac. But then, he was a subversive. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, George, your job is not just to secure the homeland, but to secure our Bill of Rights as well, and to stop agencies from so grossly wasting our tax dollars.
Brendan was spending the afternoon helping me pick out furniture for the new place.
The ladies are doing a little furniture shopping, are they?
That's scary. I hope you didn't make any choices without a professional.
Beanbag chairs for everybody.
God help us. Bearskin rug.
I put the car in swinger, baby.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
He's the man who uncovers corporate lies, exposes political corruption, and has a clear vision of what America could become. Here's Tom Hartman.
Welcome back. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network, broadcasting live coast to coast, border to border. Federal Reserve, and it's Friday afternoon. It's our second hour, and it is time for Brunch with Bernie. Congressman Bernie Sanders, America's independent congressman, the only independent member of the House of Representatives. Congressman Sanders, it is a pleasure and an honor to have you with us again.
Well, Tom, it's very good to be with you.
I am always so pleased, and you're becoming a regular part of the show. I have to tell you, Bernie, I'm getting email from folks saying how much they value the ability to actually have a conversation with a United States congressman who speaks back rationally and talks with them, carries on conversations, answers questions. It is just great. I'm so glad you're here.
Well, thank them very much. I appreciate the opportunity to be on the show. I think there are enormous issues out there that people are deeply concerned about. And we've got to focus on those issues. We've got to educate the population. And if we do that, I think we can turn our country around.
I agree. I've got a couple just very quick news stories I just wanted to bounce off you and then ask you what's on your plate. And we'll go with whichever you prefer. We may be both talking about the same thing. And if anybody wants to call in, our number is, of course, 1-800-TALK-YES, 1-800-825-5937. But number one, we've got Alan Greenspan saying yesterday that the tax cuts of Bush should become permanent. And the way it should should be paid for is by cutting Social Security. So I'd like to get your thoughts on that. Number two, we got this article in the Christian Science Monitor yesterday that says most U.S. workers saw their earnings fall or stagnate that last year, but those at the bottom of the income scale were hit the hardest. The 90th percentile is making the most. The 10th percentile is making the least, and the gap has never been wider except in 1929. And then we've got John Ashcroft here defending the subpoenas, where they're actually going into hospitals and subpoenaing them for the names of women who have received abortions in these hospitals so that the Justice Department can harass them and potentially prosecute them. And these are the things that are at the top of my pile. What's on your mind, Bernie?
Well, as you know, there was the rather outrageous statement made by Bush's chief economic advisor that I'm sure you are familiar with, where
he
said, hey, outsourcing of jobs to China and India, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. In the long run, several hundred years down the line, it will be no doubt good for America. So here you have the chief economic advisor of the United States of America saying the fact that we have lost almost 3 million manufacturing jobs, that we're beginning to hemorrhage good-paying information technology jobs to low-wage countries, hey, that, folks, is a good thing. Well, if that's a good thing, I'd hate to see something that is bad for our economy.
What possibly, you know, we talked about this in the first hour of the program, and I read the news story to folks, and I can't figure out, and I have some understanding of trickle-down economics and supply-side economics. I've read the books, you know, I've read economics all the way back to Ricardo's theory of comparative value and comparative gain and things, but I can't understand how anybody could say that with a straight face and have any kind of, have you heard anybody say why it's a good thing?
Well, first of all, I think people are beginning to catch on that the Bush administration is not the most honest and straightforward administration.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem, you know, Tom, if somebody says, look, I believe in trickle-down economics. For whatever reason, I think we should give tax breaks to the very rich. They deserve it, or whatever it may be. But these guys always disguise what they say. They tell you one thing, and they're really doing something else. So give credit to this fellow named Greg McEnaw, who is the chairman of Bush's Council of Economic Advisors. He is being honest.
Yeah.
And essentially, we got to give him credit for his honesty. What you and I have been talking about for a number of weeks is the disastrous implication of our current trade policies, which are encouraging and fomenting a race to the bottom.
Yeah.
Where American workers are being forced to compete against desperate people in China who make 20 or 30 cents an hour, while corporations make out like bandits by investing in China, where if workers stand up for their rights, they go to jail. If they want to form a union, they go to jail, and so forth and so on. The result of this has been that large corporations, General Electric and all of them, are saying to the American workers, well, thank you very much for all the support you've given us over the years in buying our products and building our products. We're gone. We would appreciate some more corporate welfare, but we'll see you in Beijing because we're off to China. And now, interestingly enough, the Bush administration, their guy, who may not be too politically sophisticated, but at least is straightforward and honest, saying, yeah, that's what we believe. If it's good for corporate America, it is good for the United States of America. And that's what they believe, and that's what this guy said. Now, their other argument would be as well, if people produce products for 20 cents an hour and they can ship it back into America, we can have more and more Walmarts, and the products that we buy will be cheaper. That's their one argument.
Which will be necessary because we're all going to be working for minimum wage.
Exactly. When you work for $8 an hour, that's all the only place that you can shop in is Walmart. So that's about the only justification that they have. Interestingly, I am on the committee, the House Financial Services Committee, in front of which Greenspan testified the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And I did ask him, Greenspan's views are absolutely consistent with what the president's economic advisor said. And Greenspan said last year, this is rather amazing, didn't get enough press, but I got some. He said, look, so long as products are being manufactured that Americans can purchase, it really doesn't matter terribly much where they are manufactured, which is what this guy is saying. So if we have no manufacturing in America, if we simply become a service industry where our kids, service industry economy, where our kids work at Walmarts and McDonald's, what's the problem? You can still purchase products.
Yeah, and there's two, you know, huge problems with that. One is the just the core defense issue. We're not making our own missiles here anymore. We're just assembling them from parts from China. And you know, if you want to get just into the military end of it, secondly, there's, of course, good jobs.
Right.
And third, there's the whole issue of, as oil becomes more expensive, you know, we're reaching peak oil here, the Hubbard peak, and transportation gets more expensive. What if there's a war? What if there's a world war? The United States has to, just for its national security, as a national interest, has to have some level of self-sufficiency in manufacturing, and we're losing that.
Absolutely. And the other issue, of course, is what do jobs pay? A job is not a job. There are good-paying jobs that have good benefits, and there are poor-paying jobs with minimal benefits. And in one sentence, the transformation of the American economy is about the fact that 20 or so years ago, the largest employer in America was General Motors. Decent wages, decent benefits, unions. Today, the largest employer in America is Walmart's. Poverty wages, minimal benefits, anti-union. And that's the transition for the American economy. There was a study, I think, that we briefly mentioned in last week, and that is that the new jobs that are being created in America, mostly service industry jobs, pay on average 21% less than the jobs that we're losing,
right,
manufacturing and information technology jobs. And the other irony here, Tom, is that you'll remember for years and years what people in this country were being told is, listen, don't worry about the loss of those textile jobs, those jobs in the shoe industries, steel, all that stuff. It doesn't matter because the new jobs that we're going to be creating on these high high-tech information technology jobs that pay people really good wages. Well, guess where those jobs are going? They're off to India.
Yeah, and other English-speaking countries.
Right.
It's right here in Vermont. I dial 411. I get someone in India.
That's right. And this is a real national problem, and I think people are beginning to catch on that Bush's allegiance to corporate America puts him in opposition to the needs of the middle class of this country.
What do you see happening in Congress about this?
Well,
are there any, you know, other than a lot of rhetoric?
That's a good question. Because, as you know, one of the problems that we've had is that this unfettered free trade philosophy was pushed very hard by Bill Clinton as well.
Yeah.
But what you're seeing now, interestingly enough, is the Central American Free Trade Agreement. I'm not sure it will ever come to the floor of the House. The Australian Free Trade Agreement, I'm not sure it will ever come to the floor of the House. And the reason is that a lot of Republicans go home to their districts in the Midwest and they see the decimation that took place because of the loss of manufacturing jobs. They're not prepared, especially in an election year, to vote for any more of this nonsense.
Yeah.
So you're going to see a lot of rhetoric now of whether or not the Democrats have the courage to start saying, okay, we need to fundamentally revamp our trade policies. Clinton was dead wrong.
Yep.
We have got to develop trade policies which work for the middle class. Doesn't mean to say the end of trade. Of course it does not. But that we've got to grow the middle class, grow manufacturing, protect information technology. Some of these guys are going to have to do an about-face, and I hope that will happen. But to answer your question, I think the immediate reaction or the immediate follow-through is that you ain't going to see too many trade agreements coming into the Congress.
Yeah. Boy, I would love to see NAFTA and GATT just rolled back. I wrote a whole chapter about that on unequal protection. I've been beating that drum. I mean, George Bush taught us that we can walk away from treaties. he taught us a good lesson.
Well, as I've mentioned to you before, we have legislation in which would repeal permanent normal trade relations with China, which I think is the most important thing. I think keeping, and I'm not anti-Chinese, we want China to become a democratic and prosperous country, but we do not have to see that at the expense of the middle class in America. So we have legislation in that would repeal permanent normal trade relations with China and start reviewing all of our trade agreements.
I agree. And both on the trade level and on the democracy level, why are we having normal permanent relations with a country that is not a democracy? I'm a little more radical, I think, than you are in this. I think that at the level of the United Nations, any nation that doesn't allow its people to vote for their elected representatives should not be allowed to vote in the United Nations.
Well, what is interesting to me is how many years, you and I are old enough to have remembered the years ago, the great anti-communist rhetoric, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
We hate communism. Well, suddenly it turns out, you know what? Hey, authoritarian communism in China, not such a bad idea if you could do business in that country.
Yeah.
And that's clearly, when you see all of these right-wing corporation suddenly palsy-wowsy with the communist Chinese leadership, it makes you think a little bit twice about some of the hypocrisy that goes
on. And even George Bush telling Taiwan to back off on all this, you know, it's outrageous. We got a call here from John in Riverside, California. John, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're on the air with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I am one of those IT professionals who was in the field for 18 years who lost his entire career to India.
Wow.
Sorry to hear you, John.
You know, I've been told by headhunters that my skill set is obsolete and that I'm a dinosaur.
Is that right?
And, you know, I'm one of those, you know, if they're going to be outsourcing jobs, then Jim Hightower in his little columns on IE America Radio has it right. Those corporations need to lose all of the benefits that they are getting from this country if they're going to commit economic treason the way they're doing it.
Well, yeah. John, yeah, I think absolutely. You hit it. First of all, I'm sorry about the loss of your jobs, and please be aware of the fact that some of us in Congress are going to do everything that we can to stop that hemorrhaging of decent pay.
Yeah, and we'll pick that up on the other side of this break. John, thank you for the call, and our hearts go out to you. This is Tom Hartman. We're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders. Brunch with Bernie here on the IE America Radio Network, 20 minutes past the hour. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
We'll be back with more music, but first a look at weather. Here's meteorologist Tom Sparks.
Thanks, Chad. There's a front moving in from the south, which is going to mix with warm air, giving us the distinct possibility for showers over the next few days. In fact, some of them are going to be big soakers, let me tell you. However, if you're planning any outdoor activities for the weekend, I have good news.
So it's going to be clear?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to GEICO.
See how much you could save. Visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes online could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
Can't. Have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Want to know more about the many topics that Tom Hartman discusses on his show? There's one website that offers the best books on all of these critical issues. It's a full-service bookstore that offers thousands of books for a better world. Books you may never have seen anywhere else. It's online at 100fires.com. Books about how you can make a difference. About the rights of workers, healthy families, creating more livable communities, environmental protection, and about how we can stop large corporations from destroying our democracy. 100fires.com offers secure ordering, full searchability, gift certificates, and much, much more. If you're tired of handing your hard-earned cash to corporate bookstores, check out 100fires.com. That's 100fires.com. Books for a better world.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
If you've got something to say, why don't you say it? If you've got something to give, why don't you give it to me? Day after day, I have to say it. We're moving further from heaven, closer to the deep blue sea. 'Cause I have no secrets from you.
And welcome back to the real free speech zone. None of that barbed wire and razor wire and whatnot of the free speech zones that the Bush and Cheney's put up around, you know, half a mile or so away from wherever they're speaking, where they can herd the folks who may have anti-Bush signs into place. This is the actual real free speech zone here, the Tom Hartman Radio Program on the IE America Radio Network. 25 minutes past the hour. It's our hour, Friday afternoon, second hour of the day. Brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders, the America's independent congressman, the only independent member of the House of Representatives, and in my opinion, the congressman for America. Bernie, we've got a bunch of calls here.
All right, let's get them.
Let's just go right to it. Let's see. We had John in Riverside, California, so now we got John in Eureka, California, is on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program.
Hello, Tom. It's a pleasure to speak to the congressman.
Hi, John.
I have a question. I hope it's not too technical. What happens to the money when corporations are fined for misconduct or breaking regulations? What happens to those fines? I know the local timber company has been fined millions of dollars in the past 10 years. Where does that money go, and does it benefit the public?
Yeah, well, it does. And sometimes it will go into the general treasury, which means presumably it will lower our deficit or be used for other purposes. Sometimes it might go into a particular fund that had to do with where the fine was incurred.
I see. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thanks for calling, John. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. And Mark in Eureka, California, you must be listening. What, KGOE is our affiliate there, Mark?
Yes, it is.
Great.
Yes. They used to be super conservative, extreme right-wing, and now they are just extreme talk, they call themselves, so they have you also.
Okay. Well, they're good people running that station. I've talked with them, and I'm very pleased to be on KGOE. What's on your mind, Mark?
Okay. I have to give you a teeny bit of background about my medical condition, but I am completely and permanently disabled, and I have in-home health care worker because I don't walk very well. I can't do the dishes. I can't clean the house. I've broken both my knees and have 20 broken bones in my body, including my back. And
open. Ouch. Okay, Mark, we've only got about 2 minutes left in this segment.
Okay,
so.
Proposition 57, 58 here in California. Our Schwarzenegger said today that if they don't pass, he's going to slash my medical benefits, my in-home health care, and $300 of my Social Security, which is supplemented by California. And I'm really terrified.
Okay. Mark, let me just say this, and not being an expert on California. California has very serious financial problems. States throughout this country are cutting back on health care programs for lower-income people. What you have got to ask yourself, and we as Americans have got to ask ourselves, how can we afford to give hundreds of billions of dollars in tax breaks to millionaires and billionaires and make those tax breaks permanent when we're looking at 43 million Americans with no health insurance, states having enormous problems, and states taking action not only in California, which will make the lives of low and moderate income people even worse? So what I would say to you, Mark, without getting into all the details of California, we cannot afford at this time when people like yourselves are hurting to give tax breaks to billionaires.
Yeah, and the bottom line, Mark, is get politically active. I mean, that's because
right.
that's the problem. The problem
we don't balance the budget on the most vulnerable people in this country. That's
right.
not what America is supposed
and
to be.
And the problem in California is in Sacramento, and the problem nationally is in Washington, D.C. right now. And that's something you can do something about, Mark. It's not going to be the easiest thing, of course, but, you know, make the phone calls. Write the letters to the editors. Speak out. Call into your local shows and keep spreading the word, because it's got to be a scary thing. It's got to be a terrifying thing. Mark, I wish you well. Bernie, thank you for the comment. Hang on. We'll be back after this break. This is Tom Hartman. It's 29 minutes past the hour. It's Brunch with Congressman Bernie Sanders here on the IE America Radio Network. We'll be back.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Everyone has a fundamental right to clean air, clean water, and other natural assets, according to a new book by that name. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Nature belongs to everyone and should be managed for the benefit of all people. That's the core argument in Natural Assets, a new book edited by James Boyce and Barry Shelley. Boyce says environmental protection should directly address the needs of people living in poor and polluted communities.
What we try to put forward in our book, Natural Assets, is a very different view in which the relationship between humans and nature can be positive as well as negative, where people can do good things for the environment as well as bad things for the environment, and where everybody has an equal right to a clean and safe environment founded on a kind of democratic principle of ownership of our common resources, clean air, clean water, land, and right to a livelihood.
Boyce favors more ecological restoration, cleaning up pollution, replenishing fisheries and forests, and he advocates an idea called coevolution, where humans manage nature for the benefit of both.
When humans are investing in natural assets, either through ecological restoration, you know, cleanup, reforestation, etc., or through coevolution, by making nature richer and more diverse, all of that creates jobs, it creates wealth, it creates livelihoods. And so we don't see there as being any inherent contradiction or opposition between measures to protect the environment and measures to improve people's economic well-being. On the contrary, we see those two going hand in hand.
That's James Boyce, co-editor of Natural Assets. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
My fellow Americans, this is Laura Pickles Bush. It seems that some of our otherwise upstanding citizens are listening to the Mike Malloy Show at 9 p.m. Eastern Time every weeknight. Surely you can find a more patriotic and productive use of your evening hours. For example, organizing neighborhood watch parties to search for the terrorists who are certain to be lurking in your playgrounds and possibly hiding dangerous weapons of mass destruction in your victory gardens. This is Laura Pickles Bush saying, when it comes to the Mike Malloy Show, just say no.
To create a real democracy in this country, we need to sit down and talk with other people. Democracy begins with conversation. But how do we begin the conversation? The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom has a 10-week study guide called Challenge Corporate Power, Assert the People's Rights, to help you get the conversation started in your community. It's free on the web at WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
Pennies in a stream.
song, Bernie. Moonlight in Vermont. Congressman Bernie Sanders, our guest this hour on the Tom Hartman radio program. I'm broadcasting from Vermont. Are you in Vermont today, Bernie, or are you in Washington, D.C.?
Right in Vermont.
You're right here in Vermont. Great. Here we are back. I just, before we go on to the next call, Mark in Eureka had laid out a problem, and I just want to say, Mark, as an old reporter, I used to make a living as a reporter, and I still write regularly for publication, and one of the things that reporters are always looking for a news story is a good human being type story that they can make the first paragraph or two out of that hooks the reader into the story. And I would recommend, given your situation, that you call your local newspapers, that you call the San Francisco Chronicle, that you call the Los Angeles Times, and in each case ask for somebody on the California desk who's doing stories about California, and say, if you would like a human example to illustrate your broader stories about Schwarzenegger's budget shenanigans, I'm available to you. I've got a story that will make a good story for you. And I think you'd be surprised how reporters are, they just die for this kind of stuff. They're always looking for people who have stories like yours. So please do that, Mark. Moving along to the phone calls, Bob in Atlanta, Georgia's on the line, 1-800-TALK-YES, our number. Hey, Bob, you're on the air with Tom Hartman and Bernie Sanders.
Thank you for taking the call. There's obviously two issues, the war issue and the economy issue.
Right. Mm.
And I've always thought that by focusing on the war, it's a very controversial issue. Democrats would be much better if they could really focus on the economy. But I see they'll have anti-protests against the war, but I never see a huge march to Washington to give our jobs back.
Well, Bob, that's a very interesting point. I think both issues are enormously important. One can't diminish the importance of the war.
No, I'm talking about in terms of winning the election.
But I think your point, you raise a very good question, and it's not inconsistent with some of the things that I've been saying. I think the reason for that is a lot of folks today, unfortunately, who are more involved in politics are middle-class folks or upper-middle-class people. And quite naturally and appropriately, they are outraged by what's going on in Iraq. On the other hand, the people who are most impacted by the economy, we just had a call from a fellow named Mark in Eureka. God knows he's going to be impacted in terms of his health care coverage by the economy. Most working people and lower-income people, for a variety of reasons, not the least of which they're working so hard just to keep their heads above water, are not involved in the political process and speaking out about the economy. We have today 11 million Americans earning minimum wage. We have the average American working longer hours for lower wages. We have a shrinking middle class. We have a growing gap between the rich and the poor and a substantial increase in poverty. And Bob, I think, is right. Why aren't we talking about those issues? Why aren't we talking about the fact that with all of the new technology and the productivity that people like Alan Greenspan talk about, the expectation would be that people's standard of living would go up? Well, in fact, it's not going up. So I agree with Bob. I think if we talk about the economy, if we talk about health care, this election is a no-brainer.
Yeah.
And our friend in the White House is a one-termer.
I mean, easily they may capture Osama bin Laden this spring.
They will.
And
they will.
So the real, I mean, you really can't, it's very difficult to win on the war issue. And plus, of course, you have it's just so split. I don't know what you think. I've been listening to Joseph Biden, George Packer, Packer in his article in the New Yorker. Democrats really are in a quandary about foreign policy.
Yeah, good point,
Bob.
There
should be a lot more talk about the economy, and I'm afraid also that the corporate media, you're not going to have General Electric talking about jobs going to China when they're the ones who are leading that effort. So there are a combination of reasons, but you're right. We've got to talk about the economy.
Yeah, Bob, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. And we need to, I'm surprised nobody has organized Hoovervilles. Remember back in the early 30s, the Hoovervilles, the unemployed
absolutely.
People who were camping out in the White House? Well, now they'd charge them with trespass for assaulting the president. Anyway. Ray in Rio Rancho, New Mexico is on the line. Hey, oh, it's Roy. Hey, Roy, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, hello, Tom. Boy, do I look forward to Friday. I mean, and this just adds to a great Friday. The only way it'd be better is if I had me a nice big old salad out here to have lunch with you guys.
There you go.
I was just thinking 40 years ago, 50 years ago, when I was growing up and kind of forming things, the kind of the cry was what was good for GM was good for the country. Now it seems that what's good for GM is good for China and bad for us. I just heard this morning out of the corner of my ear that in a couple of years, GM is supposed to be the largest manufacturer in China or the largest importer. Something, you know, I don't remember what it was, but they were relating it to how the automotive industry is absolutely going to tank because of all of the accessory stuff that's coming in. You know, they might put the cars together here, but everything else will be brought in.
That's right. They're beginning to. Roy, you're absolutely right. In China right now, some of the automobile companies are beginning to develop huge automobile manufacturing facilities in China. Let me mention General Electric.
Right.
Here's the quote. Okay, Roy, let me give you the quote from Jeffrey.
Put it on the barge.
Well, let me give you a better one. That was Jack Welch.
Uh-huh.
This is Jeff Immelt, the current president of General Electric. This is what he said December 6, 2002. Quote, when I'm talking to GE managers, I talk China, 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 China. You need to be there. I'm a nut on China. Our sourcing from China is going to grow to $5 billion. This, end of quote. This is one of the, obviously, largest corporations in America. This is economic treason. This is selling out the American people and supporting authoritarian communism abroad.
Yeah, and here's what.
Before you do, Roy,
let me just add to this. This is what General Motors Corporation is doing. This is from the Detroit Free Press today. They're increasing 20-fold the number of stuff in the parts. In 2003, GM bought about 200 million in Chinese auto parts. Its top purchasing executive now expects that to grow to $4 billion by 2009.
And the two things that concern, I mean, we could talk all day, but when China has the capacity for that kind of manufacturing, the electronic intellectual material that they're having, and when we have to buy parts to put missiles together from Red China, I'm sorry, that just doesn't make this war on terrorism sound very winnable at all.
Well, you're absolutely right.
And one other point, the point that I wanted to get to about the fines, I just read something a couple, 3 days ago that 3/4 of the fines that these corporations are getting nailed for never get paid.
Yeah, there's the defense contractors are $3 billion in arrears. Yeah, it was in the news.
It just go on and on.
And that's just for taxes. That's just for taxes.
Roy, thank you very much for raising that.
Roy, really thanks for the call. Thanks for calling in. I appreciate it. Rod in Michigan's on the line. Hey, Rod, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You're talking with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
How you doing today?
Good.
This is probably unusual, but I'm a pretty staunch Republican, but some of the issues you talk about, I guess, kind of hit heart here, too. So what would be the chance that you'd ever see the NAFTA agreement repealed?
Rod, it's an issue that legislation is in to do that. There is more and more support for it among rank-and-file members of the Congress. Needless to say, the Bush administration would be adamantly opposed to it. And I'm not going to sit here and tell you that John Kerry would necessarily be supportive of that. But what I can tell you is there is growing opposition for all of the reasons you've heard this afternoon from what General Motors is doing, what General Electric is doing, growing opposition to our current trade policies, which are costing us so much in terms of decent paying jobs. I, for one, I will vote for that tomorrow if it comes up.
Rod, among the Republicans you know in Michigan, is there a growing consensus that old crazy Ross Perot was right?
Well, I would have never thought that he was right, but I see more and more, especially in Michigan, where they estimate something like 100,000 jobs we've lost.
Yeah.
Just, you know, since the first of the year in manufacturing. It's just astronomical, and you see the effects of how it's and what it's doing to the country, especially. I just think if we ever went to war again, we don't have a manufacturing base.
Right.
Yep.
Being a staunch Republican, that concerns me.
There you go.
Rod, I have heard from, I mean, this really is not a progressive or conservative issue. I don't know any sane person who thinks that it is good for the United States to see the hemorrhaging of decent-paying manufacturing jobs.
Well, wasn't it originally designed to basically boost the wages of the Mexican employees, so they would be on a level playing field and purchase products from the United States, so everybody benefits?
Yes and no. I mean, theoretically, yeah, that's right. That the
but
argument
it's not happening.
Is
that was the sales pitch.
Right. But you know, I've heard reports that it's actually not happening.
No, in fact, I was in Mexico, Ron, a few months ago, and the economy in Mexico is very, very bad. Real wages for most Mexican workers have gone down, and you know what's also happened? They have lost hundreds of thousands maquiladora jobs, factory jobs. And you know where those jobs have gone from Mexico? They've gone to China.
Yeah. So
how do you? I mean, we're so entrenched in this nastiness.
Rod, the bottom line here is that all of this benefits a very small number of very, very wealthy individuals and very, very large corporations, and they have sold it to us. They sold us this bill of goods that Bill Clinton went along with. Republicans have been pushing ever since Ronald Reagan, and on the basis of a lie. And we're now seeing the truth.
And Democrats, be fair, Tom. Bill
That's
Clinton
what I said. Bill Clinton went along with it.
Everybody.
Bill Clinton pushed it.
And one of the problems that a lot of folks have, which has really been, from a political point of view, really bad, is too many Democrats have been very late to come on board this issue.
There you go. Rod, thanks for the call. We got to move along. Got a couple more calls here. Brian in Manchester, New Hampshire, is on the line. Hey, Brian, welcome to the program.
That sometimes, you know, going by the theory of pictures more powerful than a thousand words, especially in America today, that you have to remember when Bill Clinton signed that NAFTA treaty in 1993, Tom, that big, that tall George Bush was standing right behind him.
Yep.
And he had helped usher that all in. He had set it up for him, basically. But I'd like to say it also to the last caller that, the Mexicans and people in China, they can't get better pay because they don't even allow them to unionize at all in those countries. They're a slave labor state, as far as I'm concerned. But I wanted to get to the congressman about the fact a few weeks ago it came out where the GOP, the Republicans, were breaking into the Democratic computer system at the Senate Judiciary Committee. And I'm wondering, I know your fellow Green Mountain boy, Senator Patrick Leahy, if he might have any more insight on this. And also, I think, to me, maybe I'm completely wrong, and I'm glad everybody's okay, but that this so-called Ricin attack on Bill Frist, his mail room, I think is related to that, and it was barely detectable Ricin, and the investigators there are now saying that there's no way that Ricin, or whatever bare amounts of it, could ever have come through the mail. Somebody had to bring that in there, is what they're implying.
Right.
And I think
and
also,
allowed them to isolate those computers just as Frist's office was under investigation.
Yeah.
Brian, thanks for raising the issue. Bernie, any thoughts on that?
No, I don't know a lot more than the general public does on that.
Yeah.
I certainly am not going to speak for Senator Leahy. But what I can tell you is that is an issue that is under investigation and of a lot of concern to a lot of people.
Yeah, for good reason. Todd in California is on the line, 1-800-TALK-YES. Todd, welcome to the Tom Hartman Program with Congressman Bernie Sanders.
Hi, Bernie and Tom. Bernie, you're a good man, and your constituents are very lucky. I hope you run for senator or governor one of these days. I got a little child with me. Sorry about that.
That's our
future. I
want to
make a couple comments. One is that I understand that the U.S. defense budget, the Republican senator from Illinois tried to introduce a bill to force them to spend 50% of their budget in the U.S., and they just threw a fit about that. And the other thing I was interested in is I understand that last year, for the first time, foreign investment went to China. It was the number one country, and U.S. had held that position as number one in foreign investment for years.
Thanks, Todd. Your thoughts on that?
Todd, what I could tell you is that I know in the House there have been some conservative Republicans, Duncan Hunter of California, who is the chairman of the House Armed Forces Committee, has been very insistent about trying to make sure that our defense apparatus purchase products made in the United States of America. And he's running into enormous roadblocks. And one of the reasons for it is the more that outsourcing takes place, the harder it is to, in fact, generate a production in the United States for the American military, something that we've been talking about. So every year it's going to get worse and worse, and it's going to be harder and harder to do that. So the answer is yes. There is enormous opposition on the part of big money interests who would prefer to manufacture our products abroad and make more money. In terms of foreign investment, those numbers in China, a little bit hard to come by, But there is no question now, that not only from the United States of America, but from Europe, all over the world, tens of billions of dollars, not only in direct manufacturing money is coming into China, but for research and development as well. China is exploding in a number of ways, and one of the things that they have to hold out for these companies is a vast reservoir, as you go inland in China, of people who are prepared to work for almost nothing. So they have an unlimited amount of cheap labor in China, and corporations from all over the world are dumping huge amounts of money in there.
Yeah. Thanks for the call, Todd. 1-800-TALK. Yes, our number. Nick in New Jersey's on the line. We got about a minute left here, Nick.
Okay, I'll be quick. I really try to catch a show on Fridays, and it's just amazing that we don't have more people like the Congressman Sanders elected in this country. But anyway, back to this China thing. It seems it's good to hear you guys talking about it. The alarm bell needs to go off, I think, because it seems that the majority of us, average folks, and the majority of the average Chinese, we're kind of in a race to the same point.
Yeah,
we're
race to the bottom.
We're going to be supporting an elite few. And two quick stats of why this is really getting scary.
Nick, I'm going to ask you to hold on, because they're going to cut us off here in another 5 seconds. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. Nick, hang on. Bernie, you too, and Linda in Louisiana will pick you all up on the other side of this break.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine. And I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America. Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
First appearance of Superman in Action Comics number 1, $400,000. First appearance of Batman in Detective Comics number 27, $350,000. First appearance of Spider-Man in Amazing Fantasy 15, $50,000. Listening to that comic book show and envisioning two fat guys in tights, priceless.
Listen to that comic book show Sundays from 9 p.m. to 10 Eastern on the IE America Radio Network.
You know, Jamie, if people don't listen to Animal Talk, things with their animals won't go well.
Oh, they won't.
No, absolutely not. You see, because a dog will poop in the corner, and then a cat will end up peeing on a pillow. Then you'll have somebody who has an iguana that turns a little red. We don't want red iguanas. We don't want poopy in the corner. We don't want cat pee. If you don't listen to Animal Talk, you'll have crap everywhere.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights on the IE America Radio Network.
The Mike Molloy Show.
An interview with George and Pickles from the current issue of Ladies' Home Journal. They're asked about what September 11, 2001 was like for them personally. Although over 3,000 people had just perished, George W. was able to find some humor by the end of the day. The day ended on a relatively humorous note. The agent said, "You'll be sleeping downstairs." And I said, "No, we like our own bed." So I told the agent, "We're going upstairs." And the agent comes running up and says, "Run to attack. We need you downstairs." So there we go. I'm in my running shorts and my T-shirt, and I'm barefooted, got the dog in one hand, Laura had the cat.
I don't have my contacts in, and I'm in my fuzzy house slippers.
We're heading straight down to the basement because there's an incoming unidentified airplane which is going here toward the White House, and then the guy says it's a friendly airplane, and we hustle all the way back upstairs and go to bed.
And we just lay there thinking about the way we must have looked.
We got a laugh out of it.
The Mike Molloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
One evening by the olive tree, the strangest thing came over me.
And welcome back. It's Tom Hartman with Bernie Sanders. Nick, we've got Nick and Linda, and we've got about 3 minutes here. So, Nick, make your point really quickly. Let me get on to Linda, and then we'll give Bernie the last word.
Okay. About the people in China and here, kind of the race towards some. They're going uphill. We're heading downhill. But two quick facts about China is right now they're graduating about 40% of their college graduates are graduating with engineering degrees versus about 5% for us. And they're increasing their military spending, if I could read the stats correctly, about 17% per year over the last 10 years. And they're getting a lot of this technology from Israel, from all places, Israel and Russia, and pretty soon from what I read today, the European Union is once again going to sell them military technology. Yeah. So just at that ratio, that 40% to 5 and what they're spending, another
okay, got it, Nick. We got a problem there. Let me move on to Linda. Linda in Louisiana, your thoughts on the day here, your question, comment for Congressman Sanders.
Representative Sanders, and thank you, Tom. I just want to say that I've only had 4 economics courses in college, but I did not vote for Bill Clinton because of NAFTA, and I did not vote for Gore. I voted for Nader. Just 4 economics courses. I saw this coming down the pike.
Yep.
And
yeah.
I don't know why other people can't see it. And the thing about the manufacturing our weapons in China, how can they be so short-sighted? I don't understand.
Yeah. That's a great one. Linda, thank you for the comment. Bernie, your final thoughts on this. You got about a minute and a half
here. People who are making these decisions, Linda, the corporations, really don't consider themselves American companies. They consider themselves international companies, not beholden to the American people, but beholden to their wealthy stockholders. And I think that Clinton's decision on trade, in which he forced, by the way, many Democrats to vote against their own better instincts, was one of the worst political decisions made in recent history. But I think a lot of Democrats are rethinking that and are now prepared to stand up and demand fundamental changes on the trade issue.
Yeah, and Nick's stats. Do you see China as an emerging threat to the United States, Bernie?
I think Nick is. I mean, Nick hit it right on the head. I was there in China about a year ago. They are pouring huge amounts of research and educational dollars into engineering and technology, and I think it's a military problem, certainly an economic problem.
Yeah, especially with Taiwan sitting there. Congressman Bernie Sanders, independent of Vermont, our independent congressman for the United States, in my opinion, independent member of Congress of the House of Representatives. Bernie, thank you so much for being with us today.
Well, thank you, Tom. Take care. See you next week.
Okay, we'll see you next week. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. You're in the Truth Arena.
been listening to the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Get things in my mind, and I say, let's try this.
Hey,
and
here's Nancy in the background.
Nancy.
Oh,
hey, Nancy.
Am I on the air?
Oh. Hello.
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 Sorry.
You're sorry you're on the air?
I'm glad I didn't say something I really shouldn't have said.
Really?
You should have heard what she was telling me a minute ago.
Wow.
Bite me, doughboy.
On the IE America Radio Network.
For the latest in cutting-edge technology, computers, entertainment, and much more, tune into tomorrow here on the IE America Radio Network every Sunday from 2 to 5 p.m. Eastern Time. Hi, this is Dave Graveline. Into Tomorrow is the interactive radio program with experts featuring new technology and the latest consumer electronics. Check out our internet site anytime at graveline.com and join us live this Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific on the IE America Radio Network.
This is the IE America Radio Network News Break, your significant news source.
This is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles. A majority of Americans believe George W. Bush either lied or deliberately exaggerated evidence that Iraq possessed weapons of mass destruction in order to justify war, according to a new Washington Post ABC News poll. The survey results, which show declining support for the war in Iraq and for Bush's leadership in general, indicate the public is increasingly questioning Bush's truthfulness, a concern for Bush's political advisors as his re-election bid gets underway. Barely half, 52%, now believe Bush is honest and trustworthy, down 7 percentage points since late October and his worst showing since the question was first asked in March of 1999. 54% thought Bush exaggerated or lied about pre-war intelligence. In a blow to the Bush administration, the Senate Intelligence Committee said Thursday that it planned to investigate whether White House officials exaggerated the Iraq threat or pressured analysts to tailor their assessments of Baghdad's weapons programs to bolster the case for war. The move puts claims made by George W. Bush and other senior officials in his administration squarely in the sights of the committee's investigation and could add to the White House's political troubles as it tries to keep questions about the war from becoming a drag on Bush's re-election campaign. Federal Reserve Chairman Alan Greenspan said Thursday Congress should reinstate budget rules that would force lawmakers to cover the estimated $1 trillion that it will cost to make George W. Bush's tax cuts permanent. Greenspan said he favored reductions in government spending to pay for making the tax cuts permanent and suggested that one place to look should be in reducing the Social Security benefits paid to retirees. Appearing before the Senate Banking Committee, Greenspan said he has been urging since the fall of 2002 that budget rules known as PAYGO, which require any tax cuts or increases in government entitlement spending be paid for by either raising taxes in other areas or cutting government spending, be reinstated. More after this.
I'm Oscar Davis. You may have a serious eye condition and not even know it. Vision loss is not a normal part of aging. Some vision changes are normal. Some are due to eye disease. Do you know the difference? Open your eyes to the facts. To get more information about vision and aging, or find out about what help is available if you're having vision problems, call Lighthouse International at 1-800-829-0500 or visit www.lighthouse.org.
Relatives of a kidnap victim in Taiwan struck a passing motorcyclist with more than $600,000 in cash when they tossed the ransom money to the kidnappers from a highway overpass. The $600,000 ransom, packed into two nylon bags, landed on 57-year-old Liu Fang Nan when he rode under the overpass just as a relative of the victim delivered the money, according to kidnappers' instructions. Liu, who later sought medical attention for a swelling and bruising of his left leg, said he rode off not realizing he had been toppled off his motorcycle by a small fortune. For IE America Network News, this is Michael Stinson in Los Angeles.
This has been the IE America Radio Network News Break, produced by TakeBackTheMedia.com. For more information, visit IEAmericaRadio.com or TakeBackTheMedia.com.
Would you like to know what the future holds? Call the psychic phone line today and talk with a real live psychic. Our psychics are fully licensed and guaranteed to know what the future holds. Just listen.
Hello, psychic phone line, may I help you?
Tell me what the future holds.
Good news.
I'll be rich and successful?
No, I just saved a bunch of money on my car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
My job is to secure the homeland, proclaimed George W. as he announced major budget increases for homeland surveillance, and that's exactly what we're going to do. To make all of us feel secure, he has hiked the FBI's budget above $5 billion a year, a 60% increase since Bush took office. Good. Now maybe the agency will have the resources to redouble its keen-eyed effort to protect us homelanders from the obvious danger posed by people who carry almanacs. The almanac threat first came to public notice last Christmas Eve when the FBI's intelligence bulletin went out to 18,000 police organizations urging America's vast law enforcement network to be on alert during traffic stops and other investigations for anyone carrying almanacs. Yes, like the World Almanac or the always suspicious Old Farmer's Almanac. The agency bulletin noted that these deviously deceptive documents are replete with such details as weather trends, profiles of cities, and lists of tall buildings. The FBI's language was blunt, if not exactly sparkling. The practice of researching potential targets is consistent with known methods of Al-Qaeda and other terrorist organizations that seek to maximize the likelihood of operational success through careful planning. Good grief. As a World Almanac editor pointed out about the September 11th terrorists, they certainly didn't need the almanac to locate the Twin Towers. With Bush's budget hike, maybe the agency can focus attention on people who use phone books and dictionaries, too. Who knows what kind of subversive stuff such people might be looking up? One can only imagine what the FBI would have done to Benjamin Franklin, the publisher of Poor Richard's, America's first almanac. But then, he was a subversive. This is Jim Hightower saying, hey, George, your job is not just to secure the homeland, but to secure our Bill of Rights as well, and to stop agencies from so grossly wasting our tax dollars.
What do you think I like about communing with nature as much as I do, being on the tractor as much time as I do, or spending time with the animals?
Spitting diesel into the ozone layer? You're at one with nature.
You have meddled with the primal forces of nature, and you will atone.
On the IE America Radio Network.
Providing you with informative and entertaining programs, this is the IE America Radio Network.
For a rapid and radical return to the old values that made America great, the values of democracy on which this country was founded, this is the Democracy Zone with Tom Hartman. To talk with Tom Hartman, call 1-800-TALK-YES. Here's Tom.
And welcome back, my friends. 7 minutes after the hour in the third hour of our program, TGIF, Shabbat Shalom, Happy Friday. It's the end of the week. It's Friday the 13th. It's a marvelous day. Friday the 13th, actually, there's a whole long story about it. I won't go through it now, but there's a whole long story. It's an interesting history. It actually was a lucky day for one group of people and an unlucky day for another several thousand years ago. And you can read about it in the, as I recall, in the book of Esther. Yes, it's the story of Esther. Anyhow, a student, 19 years old, in a trial of a new antidepressant, commits suicide. This I thought was interesting. A little off topic here, but I just want to share this with you. One of the big concerns, I'm conscious of this stuff because I write these books on attention deficit disorder. I'm involved. I'm the chairman of the board of directors of a private school over in New Hampshire for ADHD kids. Louise and I, 25 years ago, started a community for abused children in New Hampshire. And
And we've had three kids of our own, although, thank God, none of them have ever been on antidepressants. But increasingly what we're seeing is that kids are not only being put on stimulant drugs like Ritalin and dextroamphetamine, but they're also being put on antidepressant drugs. And primarily the family of antidepressants called selective serotonin reuptake inhibitors, SSRI drugs, which enhance serotonin levels in the brain. Serotonin is one of the neurochemicals that makes the brain work. Serotonin and dopamine are the big two that they know of right now. I mean, you know, every few years they discover something else. And there have been this, there's been this disturbing scientific trend, you know, these anecdotal reports. And I'm on a listserv of psychiatrists in the UK who have been talking about this just in their own practices. I used to do a lot of training over in the United Kingdom and know a lot of these people. And they're talking about their teenagers and their preteens who are committing suicide, not just trying. These are not efforts to get attention, but actually doing it, who are on antidepressants. And a lot of the kids who were involved in the school murders in the United States were on antidepressants. And here now, they just did a study. This is from the New York Times today. A 19-year-old college student who had showed no outward signs of depression killed herself over the weekend at an Eli Lilly and Company laboratory in Indianapolis, where she had been participating in a company drug trial for an experimental antidepressant. The student, Tracy Johnson, was one of 25 healthy patients at an Eli Lilly clinic who were given larger-than-therapeutic doses of duloxetine, which will be known as Cymbalta if it is introduced as a depressant, antidepressant. 4 days before her death, she was taken off this and given a placebo, and apparently she crashed pretty hard. And for those of you who are parents, I just encourage you, if a physician, you know, none of these antidepressants have been tested to be, have been demonstrated to the best of my knowledge. And my knowledge was pretty up to date as of the middle of last year when I wrote my latest book on this topic called The Edison Gene. To the best of my knowledge, none of these antidepressants have been tested for safety and efficacy for depression in children. And so if you've got a doctor who is saying, here, try some Prozac, or not to pick on Prozac. I mean, it's just this whole family of them. Number one, get a second opinion. Number two, do a little research on the internet. Look at some of the scientific journals, because there's some significant issues here that I think need to be addressed, that really should be addressed. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. Third hour of the Friday afternoon here. I'd be glad to take calls on any topic if there's anything you want to talk about. Kurt in Utah was calling. His cell phone apparently dropped off, though. Sorry, Kurt, I didn't get right to it. I wanted to finish that story. I've got a bunch of news here, though, also to share with you. Did you know in Toronto now, the first American has shown up, a guy named by the name of Hinsman, has shown up. Where's his first name here? It's Jeremy Hinsman has shown up in Toronto asking for political asylum. He and his wife and their 21-month-old son loaded their belongings in a 1996 Chevrolet Prism and disappeared into the darkness for a 17-hour drive to the Canadian border. They left just before his unit, the 2nd Battalion of the 504th Parachute Infantry Regiment, was shipped overseas. This is an article in the Toronto Globe and Mail. Mr. Hinsman, the Globe and Mail points out, is believed to be the first U.S. soldier to apply for refugee status in Canada after refusing combat duty in Iraq. The first echo of the 12,000 deserters and 20,000 draft resistors who came north more than 30 years ago to escape the Vietnam War. It's happening again, my friends. It's happening again. Our young men who are draft age or who are in the military, now, I mean, there's not a draft, but who are in the military and who really didn't think that this is what they were signing up for, to go off and be shot at in a war that nobody has been able to explain to them in any kind of rational way why they're there and what's going on. No weapons of mass destruction. There's a lot of oil. And as I've said many times in this program, we probably should have a national discourse about whether or not we want to continue to have an oil-based economy and thereby keep our thumbs on the throats of the rest of the world to make sure that that oil is available to us. And that's the real issue behind this war. And anybody who thinks otherwise without name-calling, just frankly hasn't bothered to do their research. And, of course, there's secondary issues. There's the security of some of our allies in the region, particularly Israel. There's the idea of promoting democracy. It's a noble idea in the Arab world and the Middle East. There are non-Arab Middle Eastern countries. But, frankly, this isn't the way to do it. You don't promote democracy at the point of a gun. It doesn't stick when you do it that way. People have to steal their own democracy, to paraphrase my old friend Dick Gregory. 1-800-TALK-YES, our number, 1-800-825-5937. Jeff in Denver's on the line. Hey, Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hi, Tom. Just came across a new website.
Got to turn your volume up a little bit there, Jeff.
Okay, I'll try to talk louder here.
There you go.
Just came across an interesting website a couple days ago, presidentmatch.com.
I don't know about it.
It's sponsored by Time and AOL, and it's probably one of the more fair sites where you put in your opinions on different issues. And then it tells what candidate matches up best.
Oh, that's interesting.
And we were told by a Republican friend about it, because he was shocked. He took it, and Kucinich came out to be his match.
Huh. Where, it's in other words, it's a list of issues, and you pick, yes, I like that, no, I don't, or this is more or less important to me. And then it just does the calculation and says, okay, here's the candidate who agrees with you?
Exactly.
PresidentMatch.com?
Yes.
Or CandidateMatch.com.
PresidentMatch.com.
PresidentMatch.com. Well, that's fascinating. I'll have to check that out, Jeff. Thank you for sharing that with us.
There's another cool one, too, called VoteByIssue.org, where it goes into more detail in the issues where you get to read people's platforms without knowing who's saying it, and you say which ones you like, and then it matches you up at the end also.
Yeah. I've been particularly impressed by Dennis Kucinich and Howard Dean's websites in that they lay out explicit and detailed issues, positions on the issues, particularly Kucinich. Dean, not quite so much, but far more than anybody that I remember in a long, long time. And frankly, rather disappointed by the other candidates in their generalities and platitudes.
Well, it's interesting to this President Match thing, every person except for one who has taken it, I know so far, no matter what their background, Kucinich has come up as their number one match.
Do you think that might be not so much because Kucinich has issues that everybody agrees with, but because he's one of the few who's actually saying, here's my position, and the others are being waffly, and so therefore they're not showing up in the database?
That's very possible. Like Edwards, for example, was way down, was the bottom of the Democrats for almost everybody who has taken the test who's given me results.
Yeah. And
Edwards doesn't say much where he's standing.
Yeah, exactly. So it probably... there you've got an artifact, in the old statistical term, you've got an artifact of the data, your interaction with the data rather than a true representation of the data, which is unfortunate.
Quite possibly.
Yeah,
on another note, we
need to hold these guys, we need to hold their feet to the fire and get them to, on the other hand, now the downside of getting them to say exactly what they would do is just exactly what happened to Howard Dean when he went on the Chris Matthews show about a month ago and said that he was going to break up the media monopolies, and that was the end of his candidacy for president. I mean, the next day, it was as if a giant switch got pulled, and all of a sudden, every media story about him had the word unelectable or the word angry inserted into it.
Well, actually, if you look at all the candidates that the media ignored, they were the ones who were most clear on their issues.
Right, yeah.
On another note, speaking of politicians and being clear, I was watching C-SPAN and Delahunt from Massachusetts, Congressman Delahunt, was there speaking about Iraq Watch.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting. It was on two nights ago. You can probably see their website, but I'd suggest he be a guest in your show.
Congressman Delahunt?
Yes.
Okay, I'll pass that on.
He was speaking rather adamantly about a lot of the issues you've been speaking about. And the other one, I know your feelings about him, and I agree with your feelings, is Ron Paul. I think he'd be an excellent guest, so we could see where there is dramatic agreement, and of course then dramatic divergence.
Yeah, and I'm all in favor of dramatic disagreement, too, as you know, as you well know. We haven't, oddly enough, we were having a lot of conservatives on this program, those of you who are longtime listeners, for quite a while. I was getting two or three a week, you know, from Newsmax and Heritage Foundation and American Enterprise Institute. And we still invite them on, and they're afraid to come on. They're just like, you know, they don't want to do it anymore. They don't, you know, they want to go on these right-wing shows where they get patted on the head, and they don't really want to be challenged on the issues. We can't get them to come on the program.
You have a discussion show, not a talk show.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we, you know, and I'm willing to take them on, and I've got the information, and I'm willing to do the homework, and not be the liberal punching bag to some right winger. Anyhow, that's a whole other rant. We won't go there. Jeff, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you, and thanks for the tip on that website. It's a good one. This guy, Mr. Hinsman, this is interesting. He has, in principle, the basis for a refugee claim. He believes that the invasion of Iraq is an international human rights violation in which he cannot morally take part. He says he will be subject to persecution for this belief if sent back, imprisonment, and dishonorable discharge. Do you think that Canada should accept this guy and give him refuge? Interesting question. I'd like to know your thoughts on that. Tom in Indiana, Cliff in New Mexico. Stick around. I'll pick up your calls right on the other side of this break. This is Tom Hartman, 20 minutes past the hour, discussing solutions and not false promises. We'll be back.
Welcome and good evening. Soon, one of these lucky ladies will be crowned Miss Kumquat of Monroe County. The envelope, please. Miss Debbie Andrews. I have good news.
I can't believe I won.
You didn't.
Huh?
I just saved a bunch of money on car insurance by switching to Geico.
See what you could save. Call 1-800-947-AUTO. Geico. 15 minutes could save you 15% on car insurance.
I am driven to overcome.
I am driven to succeed.
If you're driven, then you need a health insurance company that's driven too and knows how to take care of the self-employed, the backbone of our country. Call 877-740-7797 and have the Mega Life and Health Insurance Company provide you with affordable health insurance.
I am driven to be my own boss, to live my own life.
I am driven to work when I want to, with whom I want to.
I am driven to be the best.
And I expect the companies that support me to be driven too.
For affordable health insurance designed for the self-employed, call right now. 877-740-7797. Toll free, 877-740-7797. Mega. We are driven. Home office, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma. Not available in all states. Benefits may vary by state.
Excuse me. Pardon me.
Slow down, Kyle. You'll choke on your coffee.
I can't. I have to finish getting the newsletter out before I can do anything else on my schedule today.
I used to have that problem before I discovered the Newsletter Factory.
Well, how'd they help you?
Their expert team of writers, editors, designers, and project coordinators do all my hard work for me. The Newsletter Factory even developed a readership survey that helped me produce the most appropriate content.
Sounds great, but I like doing some of the writing. It's just technical stories and layouts that bog me down.
No problem. In addition to turnkey projects, the Newsletter Factory gives you a smorgasbord of services from design and proofread to edit or full write. The Newsletter Factory can also help with printing and mailing. They keep you informed the whole way. Plus, the process is cost-effective and streamlined, so the Newsletter Factory doesn't have to compensate for lost time or mistakes.
Just like a factory.
Now you're catching on. Call the Newsletter Factory at 800-788-9550 to get started today. Or visit them on the web at www.newsletterfactory.com.
I will, thanks.
Your right to vote. It's something that most Americans take for granted. But today, serious questions are being asked about how we vote. Machines are used to process 98% of the votes in U.S. elections, and that includes absentee ballots. How do we know if our votes are being counted correctly? Experts say we don't know, that machines conceal the voting process, that whoever controls the machines controls the election. What is the government doing to protect your right to vote? There is no federal agency that regulates or monitors the voting machine industry. There are no restrictions on who can make, sell, or service voting equipment. They don't even have to be U.S. citizens. And there are no mandatory federal standards for voting equipment. Even if there were, experts say that voting machines can be easily rigged and impossible to safeguard. I'm Lynn Landis. I'm an investigative journalist. Learn more about this issue at my website, ecotalk.org. That's ecotalk.org.
Tia Carrera is on the front in Playboy. I think what you have done is give a little more license to people who have a few more years on them.
Probably. A few more years
I'm talking about now, like the tread on a tire. Yeah, never mind. I can't make it better.
Just when I think you couldn't possibly be any dumber, you go and do something like this.
On the IE America Radio Network.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
It's Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. 25 minutes past the hour, transforming the world by revitalizing democracy, our mission in life and with this program. And you are part of that process. You can help revitalize democracy. You can help transform the world by getting active, in the way that you conduct your personal life, and of course, by getting active politically. 1-800-TALK-YES is our number. That's 1-800-825-5937 if you'd like to call into the program. Tom in Indiana is on the line. Hey, Tom, welcome to the program.
Hey, thanks, Tom. How are you?
Great. What's up?
You started talking about the draft and other similar issues just a few moments ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember several weeks, maybe months back now, you said you were in support of a new draft.
I am support of compulsory national service, which is different from a draft. I lived in Germany for a year where they have this, and I've seen it actually, you know, up close and personal. And I believe that everybody, upon graduating from high school, should give 1 year to their country, whether it's in the military or whether it's by, you know, helping plant trees or volunteering in hospitals or nonprofits. It helps the nation. It gives people a right. It gives young people a rite of passage. It gets them out beyond their little communities and lets them see the world, as it were. It opens their, you know, makes them more worldly wise. It helps society. I think, you know, there's a lot of positive things to it. So I'm in favor of that. I'm not in favor of the kind of draft we had during Vietnam.
Hey, I was actually talking about the whole draft issue with some friends of mine, and I'm of draft age, so, you know, this stuff hits home.
Sure.
But actually, I had a similar idea. I thought, well, you know, instead of just making everyone go into the military and then going killing people, that's destructive. Let's do something constructive. Let's make something like the Peace Corps a part of the military.
Yep.
And if you, you know, have this so-called draft, you can give them a choice. You can go into the military, or you can go into this Peace Corps type thing, and we go around the world, start here in the United States, naturally, and go around the world and start building things up.
I agree.
And give the kids give us a paycheck.
Yep.
Give us training. This will give us job skills. We'll be able to get out of that eventually when we get out and go into college or have a good start on life. I think that would be a much, much better idea than just calling up a draft and saying, you're going to go off and fight yesterday's wars.
I agree with you, Tom. And I got to say, by the way, this idea was not original to me, and nor was it original to Germany. Thomas Jefferson wrote about this. Thomas Jefferson advocated a year of national service, for everybody. And the main reason that he did not want there to be a professional military, in fact, he tried to put an amendment into the Constitution that would bar the United States government from having an army during time of peace. He wanted there to be a navy to protect our borders, but no army, was because the founders of this country had seen so many countries where professional militaries, the Napoleons of the world, had risen up and taken power away from democratically elected governments or even kings, and he didn't want the military to ever have that much power. And so if you're constantly filling the military with civilian, you know, non-volunteers, draftees, then you're less likely to have a military elite form that could then do a coup d'etat.
Oh, that's
Looks like the Tom's got all the right ideas, huh?
There you go. Yeah, there you go. Thomas Jefferson, Tom in Indiana, and Tom here.
Yep. All right, yeah, that sounds like a much, much more positive alternative than anything I've heard in just a normal draft. And while I don't necessarily outright support it because, you know, I don't know what the implications of this. I haven't looked it up enough yet, but I would see that as a much, much better alternative than just having everyone go to war.
Yeah, I agree. And in fact, in the late 60s here in the United States, the Army was very different because it was filled with all these draftees, and the maniacal and potentially dangerous military culture was tempered by, you know, average people coming in and just doing a couple of years and moving out. And it was a healthy thing. It was a healthy thing for the country and a healthy thing for the military. Not that the Vietnam War was a healthy thing or that the draft was, but that little piece of it. And so, anyhow, yeah, you get my point. Tom, thanks for the call. Cliff in New Mexico, Josh, Richard, hang on the line. We'll pick you up on the other side of the break. This is Tom Hartman.
Didn't think you could still get union-made clothing in America? Well, think again. It's here, now, in just a mouse-click away at www.nosweatshop.com, the world's first shopping mall that doesn't sell clothing made in sweatshops. At nosweatshop.com, there's jeans and oxfords, sweats and hoodies, fleece jackets and sports bras, caps, scarves, and more. You can get great quality, support good jobs, and pay a fair price. You can't stretch a buck any further than that. Nosweatshop.com. A better world is just a mouse-click away.
This is the Tom Hartman Program on the IE America Radio Network.
Everyone has a fundamental right to clean air, clean water, and other natural assets, according to a new book by that name. I'm Steve Pomplin for Earthwatch Radio. Nature belongs to everyone and should be managed for the benefit of all people. That's the core argument in Natural Assets, a new book edited by James Boyce and Barry Shelley. Boyce says environmental protection should directly address the needs of people living in poor and polluted communities.
What we try to put forward in our book, Natural Assets, is a very different view in which the relationship between humans and nature can be positive as well as negative, where people can do good things for the environment as well as bad things for the environment, and where everybody has an equal right to a clean and safe environment founded on a kind of democratic principle of ownership of our common resources, clean air, clean water, land, and right to a livelihood.
Boyce favors more ecological restoration, cleaning up pollution, replenishing fisheries and forests, and he advocates an idea called coevolution, where humans manage nature for the benefit of both.
When humans are investing in natural assets, either through ecological restoration, you know, cleanup, reforestation, etc., or through coevolution, by making nature richer and more diverse, all of that creates jobs, it creates wealth, it creates livelihoods. And so we don't see there as being any inherent contradiction or opposition between measures to protect the environment and measures to improve people's economic well-being. On the contrary, we see those two going hand in hand.
That's James Boyce, co-editor of Natural Assets. Earthwatch Radio is a service of the Gaylord Nelson Institute and the Sea Grant Program at the University of Wisconsin.
Do you dig your dog, but your dog digs your rose bushes?
Does Hole in the Head have your Oscar?
Is your cat doing a Tarzan swing from your drapes?
Is your python pooped?
Do you hate your folks because they spent your college tuition on a European vacation?
Jamie, what does that have to do with animals?
I don't know. I kind of ran out of stuff.
Now, come on. This is a commercial for a major radio network. We can do better.
Animal Talk, Sunday nights, on the IE America Radio Network.
What does corporate power have to do with disarmament? How does working for racial justice affect trade agreements? And what do they all have to do with the Cuban blockade? Having trouble making a connection? It's our specialty. The Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, for 88 years, connecting the issues for democracy and social justice. Why don't you connect with us? WILPF.org or call 215-563-7110.
The best of the rest of the news. You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
But I played it wrong.
back to the True People's Radio, the Tom Hartman radio program here on the IE America Radio Network. A congressman down in Florida, U.S. Representative Robert Wexler, filed a lawsuit against the Florida Secretary of State, Glenda Hood, because the machines, the voting machines, that this congressman had to subject himself to get reelected, did not produce any kind of paper ballot and therefore could not be audited. And Circuit Judge Karen Miller threw out the suit. Wexler said the judge's order seemed to erase Florida voters' ability to challenge the system. I see this as the judge dismissing Florida's voters and their voting rights, he said. The Secretary of State, appointed by Jeb Bush, a good Republican, Glenda Hood, on the other hand, said that she was, quote, very pleased with the court's decision, end quote. That it doesn't matter that if you vote on a voting machine, nobody can know whether it was a real vote or not. Amazing. Josh is trying to call a couple times. I got a couple of people here in line, but his cell phone keeps popping in and out, so I'm going to take his call first, Stephanie. Bring Josh on the line. Hey, Josh, welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Hey, Tom. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I just wanted to make a quick point, which I guess has been made before. I just wanted to reiterate on something you were talking about earlier with Congressman Sanders.
Mm-hmm.
And that was about how the media turned on Howard Dean.
Yeah.
And I was just thinking, you know, you were talking about the multinational corporations sending our jobs overseas and not really considering themselves American anymore. And they own a lot of the big media, so it would be in their best interest to avoid any candidate who was trying to usurp their power, right?
Yeah, they don't just own a lot of the big media. They are the big media.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd say that. I know it's been said before, but just make that connection there again about how they own the media and they don't want anybody messing with them, taking our jobs away and moving out to conquer the rest of the world, leave us in the dust.
There you go. We're back to feudalism, Josh. That's what it's all about. It's about recreating feudalism. Thomas Jefferson, on January 28, 1786, wrote a letter to his friend James Curry. He said, our liberty depends on the freedom of the press, and that cannot be limited without being lost. Now, there's two ways to limit the freedom of the press. The one is for the government to come in and say, you can't say this. And the other is for large corporations to come in and buy up all the media and then say to the reporters, oh, no, we're not going to fund investigative journalism anymore. Oh, no, you don't want to write a story about that. Those are both ways that the freedom of the press is being limited. And that latter way is the danger to democracy, not just the danger to democracy. It's the greatest enemy of democracy today. This is a very, very, very real problem, a terrible and real problem. So anyhow, Cliff in New Mexico is on the line. Hey, Cliff, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. You are live and on the air.
Oh, it just seems to get better and better, doesn't it?
Yeah. Well, what's better and better is that more and more people are waking up, Cliff. You look at the turnout statistics on these primary elections, and it's like people are energized. I think it's great.
Yeah, well, that's true. I wanted to call in, I guess, about China and the way they seem are getting prepared to take over from our position, I guess.
Yeah, in fact, just before 2000, before the year 2000, one of the leaders of China made the comment, which was widely reported in the press, that the next century, 2000 to 2100 to 2100, he said that the 18th century, the 1700s, was the British century, the 18th century was the European century, the 19th century, the 20th century was the American century, and the 21st century will be the Chinese century, as I recall. I may have the order wrong, but anyhow, his point was that the 21st century, China will rule the world.
Yeah.
And you can bet your bottom dollar that that's in their plans.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because they were in a sort of a position to do that during the 10th and 11th centuries, but they never really followed through with it.
Well, they ruled their world.
Well, yeah, they weren't really interested in expanding too much, but I just think it's interesting that they had that one opportunity during the 11th century, and they didn't take it. Now, after they all the horrible European atrocities that were like committed during the Boxer Rebellion and whatnot, they're poised to take over again.
Yeah, only this time they're going to do it a little more intelligently. Unless there's a shooting war with Taiwan, which I frankly don't expect. I think, you know, China is, if not already, then certainly within 6 months or a year of being in a position where they can make a single phone call to the White House and cause this government to do whatever they want. Because all they own so much of our debt that they could throw us by simply dumping that on the open market immediately, which would just crash our ability to continue to finance our government. And we would have to turn on the printing presses and run them full speed, throw us into the same kind of situation Germany found itself in the 1920s, when they had to do the same thing to try and bail themselves out of the odious conditions that were placed on them for war reparations at the Treaty of Versailles. And China is so close to being in a position. And right now, if they were to join up with Saudi Arabia, which they are aggressively courting because their oil imports are increasing like crazy. And China and Saudi Arabia are getting closer and closer to each other politically. And China is now the second largest supplier of weapons materials to Saudi Arabia.
Oh, yeah.
And Saudi Arabia holds an enormous amount of our debt because they've been buying treasuries for 30 years.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And if China and Saudi Arabia were to get together and simply decide to flex their economic muscle, they could bring this nation to its knees. They could throw us into an economic situation that would make the Great Depression look like a picnic.
And if they developed alternative fuel sources or some other...
There's no if. They're doing it.
Oh, they are?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
And not just they. I mean, all over the world. It's already... You can buy now photovoltaic cells that will generate electricity, you know, seven cents a kilowatt hour, you know, essentially the same cost as coal-fired power plants. And I think it's either Sharp or Sanyo. I'm pretty sure it's Sanyo, is selling roofing tiles now in Japan. And you can buy them all over the world. I've seen ads for them in magazines in the United States where you can roof your house with these things and generate enough electricity for your house. You know, if you live, you know, south of the Mason-Dixon line, it's more than 100%. You can feed power back into the power grids. China is developing those industries as well, very aggressively, and they're subsidizing them to the tune of billions of dollars.
So do you think it's like the neocons are just cashing in, trying to get as much oil as they can because all their investments are tied up in there? Or
yeah, I have come to the conclusion in my old age here that what we have is a bunch of just, you know, very greedy folks who are and justifying it by saying, well, I've got to build my family's dynasty. I've got to have, you know, security for the long term for my family, who are just getting as much as they can, as fast as they can, to make themselves the next generation of Rockefellers, as it were, and without any consideration at all for the future of the United States or the world. And without ideology.
Yeah.
I really don't think that they have an ideological basis any longer.
Well, so it almost like appears that they'll become like the new just feudal barons over,
that's exactly
over
right.
a certain area.
That's exactly
unlike
right.
Unlike China, which will preside over a vast area.
That's right. And keep in mind, European feudalism, the feudal lords typically ruled over an area of just a few hundred miles.
Yeah.
And the feudal lords got together in 12, whenever it was, when the Magna Carta was signed, said to King John, hey, you've got to recognize us. But it wasn't one feudal baron. It was a whole bunch of them. And it's sort of like the World Trade Organization versus governments of the world. Anyhow, that's the situation that I'm seeing. And so
yeah.
I got to move along. Got a couple more calls here. Thanks for the call, though. Who's next, Stephanie? I've lost track. Okay. Kurt's on a cell phone. Hey, Kurt, we'll take your call here first in the event that you drop off, and then we'll go to Richard. Welcome to the Tom Hartman program.
Great. Really appreciate it. Now, I called for, but kudos to the guy that went to Canada. I'll keep it short and leave it at that. I'd like to take a few seconds. I'll be brief and short and so on, but I've always wanted to go to college, never been able to quite yet. So you or this is my college course. I really, really appreciate your program more than you know, but you and Marianne and so on. What I was wondering, two, three things, though, is that NAFTA is a North American treaty. How does China get involved in the North America treaty?
Well, they're They're, you know, I'm frankly, I'd have to go back and look as to whether China's a full member of the World Trade Organization. But there were two trade organization trade treaties that were signed roughly at the same time under Bill Clinton. One was the North American Free Trade Agreement, which was basically the United States, Canada, and Mexico, and the other was called the General Agreement on Tariffs and Trades, which spawned within 6 months the World Trade Organization, which has now taken on the status of basically a nation. Corporations run the WTO by and large functionally. They would say it's a little more egalitarian than that, but you look at it, it's right there. There's a whole chapter about this actually in a book I wrote called Unequal Protection that you can find in libraries. In fact, that chapter may be online. I'm not sure. We've got a couple chapters in the book online. And so China's stuff is number one through WTO. And number two, we started this program during the Cold War where we wanted to punish the communist countries who we saw as enemies, and we wanted to reward our allies. And so we gave what was called most favored nation status back then. Now there's a new name for it, which is just, you know, it's right at the tip of my tongue and I can't remember it, but most favored nation status. And what it did was it gave them lower tariff rates. What's ironic about this, and it's why I don't think that China's fully participating with WTO, is that China charges tariffs on things that we export into China, whereas we don't charge tariffs on Chinese goods, comparable tariffs that are imported into the United States.
Okay, so two more quickies. It came up when you were talking to Bernie Sanders. I can understand how one or a handful of people can be foolish policies or whatever, but how can so many of the electorate and right of center legislators or whatever be gullible or go along with so much of the nonsense?
You talking about the war in Iraq?
Name it.
Oh.
Economics.
Name it. Well, there's a lot of cash flowing around in Washington, D.C., Kurt. I mean, that's really, I think, the bottom line. There's just an enormous amount of money flowing around, and there's a lot of people grabbing what they can while they can. Look at Billy Towson, you know, the congressman from Louisiana who was one of the main authors of the Medicare bill, who's now looking at a $2 or $3 million a year job with Pharma, the big lobbying organization for the drug companies. I mean, it's just to use Arianna Huffington's phrase, you know, the old cliche, it's pigs at the trough.
Yeah. I think some people, like McCain are becoming too disgruntled and speak up about it, I think. But
McCain's been speaking up about it all along. I mean, he's been following the tradition of Barry Goldwater, another good Republican from Arizona. You know, there's a lot of McCain's positions that I disagree with, but you can't impugn his integrity. Kurt, I got to move along. I got a couple more calls here. Michael in Santa Fe's on the line. Hey, Michael, welcome to the Tom Hartman program. Oh, Mike, I'm sorry, Richard. Richard in Durham. Oh, way up there. Richard in Durham, North Carolina. Hey, Richard, I'm sorry to have you waiting so long. I missed you on the screen.
No problem, Tom. How you doing?
I am great, but I'll get better. How about you?
All right. Hey, I'll throw you a softball since this is your forte. Give me a good response for when I'm debating with libertarians and conservatives about why corporate power and the influence of big corporations over society is a threat to democracy, because they can't see that. They only see the rule of force and the threat of force that the government wields, and they don't understand how there's also a power wielded by corporations.
Yeah. Well, the simple answer is that corporations aren't elected. They're not democratic institutions. They are not instruments of democracy, nor were they intended to be. This is not an indictment of corporations. Corporations are a legal fiction, a legal vehicle to aggregate wealth and to make money. And that's a fine thing, and you know, we need them, but they're not, they shouldn't be part of the democratic process, because they're not responsive to the voters. They're responsive to the marketplace.
And they're not even representative of stockholders or workers or anyone like, and that's a common argument I hear also.
Right, and they're not required by law to do what their stockholders say. First of all, publicly held corporations are not, and in fact very often don't. And secondly, the whole notion of, well, you can vote with your pocketbook. If you don't like the company, just don't buy their products. The implicit logic of that is those people who have enough money to have enough impact on a corporation are the ones who are making the decisions. In other words, democracy goes to the wealthy, whereas those people who can only refuse to buy a McDonald's burger once every month, their vote doesn't count as much, which is also anti-democratic. The whole argument that you're talking about here on their side is one of basically elitism and aristocracy.
Right, and workers don't have influence because of the weakened unions. The government doesn't really have any influence because even if they can levy a fine against a corporation, the corporation can just pass that on and consumers in the form of higher prices.
Ultimately, it's about power. And in the marketplace, you've got corporations who have power as a consequence of aggregated capital. And to balance that, you have to have aggregated labor, that is, organized labor, to balance that. And we've seen the lessons of this. We saw the golden age of the American middle class from the 1940s to the 1970s coincided with the ascendancy of unions in the United States.
Right.
And then with regard to democracy and power, the ability of government to exercise power in a democracy, and Ayn Rand, the founder of the Libertarians, didn't understand this. She grew up in the Soviet Union, is a function of the power that we give them. We give the power to the government, and when the government abuses that power, as John Adams did in 1798, and as George Bush is doing with John Ashcroft right now, we have the ability to throw the bums out, and hopefully we'll do it again. Thanks for your call, Michael. This is Tom Hartman on the IE America Radio Network. It's 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be back.
My name is Rachel, and in 3 months, I dropped 41 pounds and 4 pant sizes.
My name is Linda. I went from 211 to 170 pounds in 13 weeks.
My name's Jen. I lost 51 pounds and 13 inches off my waist.
My name's Rose, and I lost 36 pounds on ultralipoline and dropped 5 sizes. Last night, I ate a chocolate cheesecake, and I felt no guilt.
I'm Dr. Sue Parker. I help people support healthy weight and cholesterol levels with ultralipoline.
I'm Catherine, and I was really skeptical until I lost 14 pounds without any heavy exercise. My cholesterol's lower. My doctor says I'm much healthier. I've got a flatter stomach, leaner thighs. And look, I mean, I'm walking down the beach without a towel around my waist.
Call now for your risk-free trial of ultralipoline at 1-800-865-8449. It's guaranteed. Call 1-800-865-8449. Lose 2 dress or pant sizes in just weeks. Call 1-800-865-8449. Call now, 1-800-865-8449.
I guess I better let the dog in.
Like the small dog that rules the house, Small Dog Electronics is the small computer company that really rules when it comes to customer service. Small Dog Electronics is your authorized Apple reseller in Waitsfield, Vermont. Sure, you can buy your computer out of a catalog, but how do you know you're really getting what you want or what you need? At Small Dog, they don't work on commission. Their only motivation is making sure you're a happy customer. Put your business on the leading edge with the world's fastest computer, the new Macintosh G5. You'll finish the job ahead of the pack, and automatic security updates lock out viruses. That's speed and dependability that will keep you focused on your customers instead of sitting on hold with tech support.
I guess you want to get on the couch, huh?
Like the small dog who everybody makes room for, Small Dog Electronics is big on customer service. Small Dog Electronics. Check them out on the web at smalldog.com or at their showroom on Route 100 in Waitsfield.
No way. You're not getting on the bed.
They are delicious. Connoisseurs love them. They're imported from France. They're certified eco-friendly. And they're reasonably priced. What am I talking about? Eco Wines. One of the best-kept secrets in America, Eco Wines from the south of France. Brought to you since 1980 by my company, the Organic Wine Company. My name is Véronique. I select these earth-friendly wines personally. They are made with organic grapes. They burst with life and flavor. But don't take my word for it. Call us to get a free sampler. Yes, you heard me right, a free sampler. 2 full-size bottles delivered to your doorstep for a $10 shipping cost only. Our number? Easy to remember. 1-888-ECO-WINE. Our site? Easy to find. EcoWine.com. See, if you're going to eat, eat organic. If you're going to drink, drink wisely. Drink organic. Our future depends on it. Remember our number? 1-888-ECO-WINE. And that is ECOWINE.
The Mike Mullet Show.
Rufus on the newsmaker line. George W.
I thought maybe you could ask me some of them questions.
Oh, okay. In the past, it appeared that Kucinich supported the global gag rule that you have enforced. What's your position on that?
Vice President Cheney assures me that the gag rule is very important in case I say something stupid.
Oh. What do you have in mind for the Middle East and the situation in the Korean Peninsula?
Gonna kill him.
You're gonna kill him, okay.
Gonna kill him.
Are you interested in an in-depth inquiry into the missing weapons of mass destruction?
Weapons of mass production are there. We found two trailers. Now, my daddy has an Airstream, so I know about trailers.
Yeah?
And if they roll over on a little car or something, there's a lot of destruction there.
Yeah, I see. Okay,
they flip over in those desert winds.
Yeah.
The Mike Malloy Show, Monday through Friday from 9 p.m. till midnight Eastern Standard Time on IE America Radio Network.
See the look on Nancy's face.
What's she doing?
I asked her if she wanted a boogie, and she just gave me this condescending sneer.
Is it the condescending, I don't boogie?
How would I keep up with her?
Right.
Boogieing.
Nancy can boogie.
Yeah.
Doug, I've never seen you dance.
Kind of looks like a frog in a blender.
I could dance with you till the cows come home. On second thought, I'd rather dance with the cows than you come home.
On the IE America Radio Network.
There's a new voice on IE America Radio Network. It's Never Better with Marina Colby. Sundays from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern on the IE America Radio Network. Never Better is an energetic show that explores and analyzes how you can be more successful people at work and in relationships. So make sure you tune in to Never Better with Marina Colby every Sunday from 11 a.m. till noon Eastern Time on IE America Radio Network. For more information, go to IEAmericaRadio.com.
Bringing you uncommon sense, you're listening to the Tom Hartman Program.
One evening by the olive tree, the strangest thing came over me. A vision deep inside my soul. Out of time and days of old. This funny feeling made it seem like I was caught inside a dream.
And welcome back. It's the pill that will help you escape the matrix, the Tom Hartman radio program. Thanks to Steph Stryker, the wonderful Steph Stryker, who has been engineering our program and putting up with my inability to keep track of who our callers are today. Steph, you've done a great job engineering the program today. Thanks to Louise Hartman for producing this program here in Vermont, to Brad Walrod for coming up with our music and editing it in New York City. Thanks to all the folks in the chat room who showed up and spent the day and the week with us. And to you for listening. Al, we got a few minutes left on the program, and John in Akron, Ohio is on the line. Hey, John, welcome to the program.
Hey, Tom, how are you doing?
I am alive and kicking, John. What's up?
Oh, that's wonderful. Tom, I want to first of all tell you thanks. I mean, you have been such an inspiration to me. I mean, basically listening to you while I'm at work is basically what keeps me sane.
Great.
I mean, and plus it's just such an inspiration to hear somebody like you, you know, who is positive, who is upbeat, and who is basically telling the truth.
Thank
about
you.
Everything. And basically, I just have one question for you because I know your time is short. How do we take back the media? I mean, I was reading where I think Ted Turner was talking about, you know, the former chief of CNN and everything. He was talking about nobody could do what he did, you know, back with TNN or, you know, whatever, Turner
right.
Network Television. You know, nobody could go out and buy a new station or whatever like that and beam it up to a satellite and basically get, you know, if you want to start your own news network, I mean, the cost in doing so is so prohibitive.
Yeah. Here's the situation, John. Pardon me for interrupting you, but we only have about a minute left or a little less.
Right.
The media is part of a larger problem, which is that we used to say in the United States, when a corporation gets so large, has so much economic economic power that it actually is dangerous to democracy, that we stop them from growing any larger. We have these antitrust laws on the books. And the media corporations have reached that size. Many other corporations have reached that size. The defense industry is full of them. Walmart, in my opinion, is that size. What we need to do is go back to enforcing the laws that are actually on the books, like the Sherman Antitrust Act, and breaking up these companies like Jimmy Carter did with AT&T. It was the last time it happened. And it's going to take political will. It's going to take political will, and it's going to take a president and a Congress that's willing to do it. And so that's why it's so important that we get politically involved. That's the solution. And then the media will take care of itself once that happens. Thanks for the call, John. I appreciate it. This is Tom Hartman. Thanks for being with us this week. Join us again next week. Same time, same place.
America Radio Network. Check our website at www.tomhartman.com for archives of this program and more information.
Copyright 2004.
Mr. Rogers Parenting Book. Fred Rogers, a pleasure to have you here.
What I'm hearing you say is that you delight in creating community.
I do. I think thinking about things and working through problems and issues is an important tool.
I'm just thinking that the world could take some lessons from the Doug Steffen neighborhood.